Tonight, we interview Luna Ray Games, creators of the Kickstarter title Time Spinner, a 2D Metroidvania platformer coming to multiple systems next year. We'll have this and much more, along with your questions in chat, calls, and emails, right here on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio Live with this episode number 571 for today, which is October the 12th, 2014. My name is Rob Roberts, joined by my co-host. Say hello here in studio to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I did a thing today.
What did you do today?
I slept a lot.
You slept a lot. Congratulations.
No, I did another thing today, but you'll find about that during what I played.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, you had a very me day, and I had a very you day, because to reward myself, because we have a big show tonight. Tonight, it's like OLR is taped in front of a live studio audience. We have so many people here in the studio, but I'll get to
cue
that.
Cue laugh track.
But we have a busy show tonight, and I did a performance last night, because as you know, I do the Shadowcast Theater stuff, although, as I announced on the show a couple weeks ago, that's all going to be winding down very soon. So my next to last show was last night. So I rewarded myself with tacos today. So
tacos
I had a very
are amazing.
Day. Tacos are great. So there
tacos
you go.
Tacos are amazing.
Awesome. All right. Also amazing. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, Loki?
Clean spam.
Cleaning spam. Are you getting attacked by the spam bots on your email account again?
I just haven't checked it in like a couple days, and so I have a million messages.
Uh-oh. And it's like, you know, would you like to enlarge your penis, or would you like to enter the lottery in Nigeria, or whatever spams?
No, it's increase the value of your home. Mysterious water of life vanishes.
I love it when I get those emails that are like, increase the value of your home. It's like, I'm a renter. Delete. All right. Anyway, we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, to the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. We do have a very busy show tonight. We have, as mentioned there in the intro, Bodhi Lee from Lunar Ray Games going to join us in about 25 minutes here to talk all about what they're up to and their game Time Spinner. That's going to be awesome. But here in studio, we have a very packed house, so I want to get to it here, kicking off tonight, introducing our guests. First off, this is a name you might recognize if you've been listening to OLR for a very, very, very long time, but she hasn't been here in way too long. So welcome back to the show. Princess Irene is here tonight. Hi, Princess Irene.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing pretty well. How about you?
Good.
Great.
All right, so we're all caught up. Let's move on. No, I'm kidding. What? So, okay, so for those that haven't heard you on the show before, you've been a gamer as long as I've known you, which has been a very long time. I remember we used to play DDR together and, you know, all that
yes.
fun stuff. What kind of games do you like? Like, what are your favorite sorts of games?
Well, obviously, rhythm-based games. That's mm-hmm. kind of how we met. Well, not how we met, but a lot of our friends. I like RPGs. I like puzzle games. I'm sounding like the, I don't know, stereotypical, like, girl gamer or something. But, you know, it's kind of on an independent case. I just judge it based on, like, what I see. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
But you also play a lot of, like, recent stuff, too, because I noticed before we were getting started here, there was, like, a Smash 3DS brawl going on during Bobby's show, so.
Yes, yeah.
Is that what you've been into kind of lately?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm Poe, so we just got a 3DS last year. We actually got two of them. But I've been loving it, you know, and I've been trying to catch up on a backlog of games on the 3DS, so mm-hmm. that's been great. And yeah, I got Smash Brothers for my one-year wedding anniversary, so isn't that romantic?
Oh, congratulations. No, that
Thanks.
Is. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Aw. And your husband's a giant nerd, too, so, you know.
Yes, yeah.
The couple that plays together stays together. Wink.
Indeed.
Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. You're getting a lot of welcomes there. Like, yay, Irene. Yay, hi, Irene.
Oh, hi,
yay,
everyone.
Rice Princess. Yay, anniversaries. Because you used to go by that name and then you switched because, you know, you can.
Yeah, I wanted to be less racist. No, I'm kidding. No. But I'm thanks for remembering me, guys. Aw, hearts and feels.
So while you've been gone, this is interesting, though, because while you've been gone, I mean, I don't think you've been on OLR in probably at least a year and a half. It's probably been almost
I think
longer.
It's more than that, yeah.
It's been a while. But while you've been gone, you just decided to start your own show.
Not really. I was invited onto another show by another person who's here tonight, and it's just worked out. So yeah.
We say support indie podcasting, and I actually think that is like super fucking awesome that you're doing your own thing right now.
Yeah,
because you guys are focused on like retro type of games, right?
We don't really like to call ourselves a retrocast, but it ends up being a retrocast because we're all like really old gamers. So. It's usually what it is. Everything, you know, new is crappy and everything old is good. So kind of pretty much. So.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Well, it's appropriate that you're here tonight when we're going to be talking to somebody who's developing a new game, but very influenced by the retro stuff.
I've heard a thing or two about this game. So.
Let's be real. You actually put this on my radar. So.
I did.
And I'm glad
you
did.
I kind of begged you for it. Yeah. But I'm excited. So.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Well, let's talk to your co-host, who's also joining us here tonight. Say hello, everybody. I didn't ask if he has an alias. Do you have an alias that you use, or should I call you by your name, or what?
The universal handle is usually the Mad Piper.
Okay.
Whatever you find.
So Mad Piper it is. How you doing?
I'm well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm excited.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what you and Irene do on your show.
It's called the Multitap Podcast. It's on the Fistful of Potions network. Like, you guys have the VOG network here. Mm-hmm. But it's mainly just, I don't know if we even have a theme, really. It's a lot of tangentry. And, you know, it's loosely based around older video games.
Mm-hmm.
Or newer video games.
Not familiar with tangentry.
No, we don't. We only stick to business here. You're on the wrong show, buddy. I'm sorry to say.
I probably won't talk a lot.
All right. Well, okay, since you guys are retro fans, what are some of your retro classics? Because I've known her forever, but I've only just met you, although I've heard your show. But what are some of your favorite classics?
Goodness, I think I mentioned Super Mario RPG on every episode. Final Fantasy VII. Yeah, really like big ones, but there's some that just really stick out for me. Mm-hmm. I'm really liking Theater Rhythm, though, but my poor 3DS is in the shop.
What happened?
So I found out there's a... there's a numbskull somewhere that built the 3DS, and the motherboard is warped. So when it was in assembly, it's, you know, those little hooks that you can put a lanyard on?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So the motherboard was put on top of that. Or I guess one corner of the motherboard was kind of assembled on top of that. And so it's having a hard time. It won't read the SD card anymore.
Now, you're getting some hellos in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Bochikawa says, hello, Piper. Great radio voice. Link to podcast?
it would be, I guess, at fop.net. You can find it on the webpage. Yeah, FFOP.
Oh, okay. I thought he said something else for a minute there. I was like, the FAP? What is this?
FAPnet. if you listen to the show, you'll understand. You'll feel a sudden urge.
So this is for FOP.
This is for FOP.
Okay.
FOP.net, Fistful of Potions, or I think spelt out fistfulofpotions.com. And then we're on the webpage or on iTunes or on YouTube. We have a playlist up on YouTube, so you can find it fairly easily.
Nice. Awesome. So tell us about like what you talked about on your most recent episode, if people will check it out.
We had actually, we went out of sequence, but we did episode Mighty No. 9 to celebrate Mighty No. 9 coming out, I guess, soon. So we couldn't talk about that very much. So we just kind of talked a lot about Mega Man.
That's fine.
We had nothing else. But it was a good time.
That. We were going to talk about Mighty No. 9, but then we realized nobody's played it. Right. So we'll just talk about Mega Man. It works.
Yeah.
Which one's the best Mega Man? Ooh.
You have to listen to the podcast. No,
I'm asking you now.
Oh, man. It's for me?
Yeah.
I like X.
You like X?
I like X.
Really?
But it's one of the few I've played.
To not say 2 or 3.
I've played 1, 2, and 3, and X, and I think I loved X the most just from nostalgia's sake, from when I was little. It did the most for me. You got armor.
Yeah, you did.
Extra, not back to canisters, what are those? Energy capsules.
Mm-hmm. I think 2 will always be my favorite, but again, I think that's a nostalgia thing. Like, I had played 1 when it was new, but then 2 is that game you saw in Nintendo Power, and yes. You were like, this looks like a freaking cartoon. These graphics are so amazing. Oh my God, my mind is blown, you know, and then the game comes out, and it really does, like, for graphics at the time, looked so good. Like, some of those, like, I remember the giant fish in Bubble Man stage, like, that was amazing.
You gotta listen to the episode. We have, one of our co-hosts is Bubble Man's number one fanboy.
Okay. So, all right.
Wow. You said the right one.
That is okay. That's something. Master. Bubble Man's fanboy. That's.
We also talk about Bubble Man's wiry remains. Or wiry
corpse. Nice. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Somebody over there, Raginator, is quickly registering fafap.com. So there you go.
Oh, man.
Agdeft says, I'm still waiting for Mega Man X20. Bochikawa says Mega Man 9. Oh, sorry. No, that's Mighty Number 9. So feels like classic Mega Man to me, even though you dash constantly everywhere. Now, some people have played it because there's that beta for right. the backers of a certain level on Steam, right? Yeah.
That's none of us.
Let's see. And Dungeon Buster agrees Mega Man 2 is so good. Well, because you have good taste, sir. All right. we're going to move on. I'm going to introduce one other guy we have here. I told you guys it was a full house here tonight. Not only do we have our friends here from the Multitap podcast on FFOP, but we have another old friend of OLR back tonight making his yearly visit to the studio. Say hello, everybody, to JV Mon.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey. Good, pretty good, you?
Good. Are you just flew in from New York City the other day, right?
Yeah. My sister had gotten married this past week, and so, you know, I figured I might as well show up.
Might as well. Well, that's still really awesome, because you usually, when you come visit, your sister, from what I recall, is in the Bay Area somewhere.
Yeah.
And we're still a good two-hour drive from the Bay Area, so that's still, you know, yeah, dedication.
Like an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on traffic.
Yeah, okay.
But,
so,
you know.
So did you get a lot of wine at the wedding?
Yeah. It wasn't, like, free bar for, like, liquor or beer, but, like, wine, they were just, like, cases and cases and cases of wine, and mm-hmm. you know, today they were picking everything up. They had maybe like one or two bottles of wine left out of like 15 cases, and all the kegs were still almost full.
Nice.
My family likes wine.
Now, our other guests were promoting a podcast, and I know you used to do one, but your podcast list right now, right?
No, it started.
Oh, you did? Again. Oh, yay!
It's about one episode every month or so.
Okay, all right. Well, hey, do it when you do it.
Still about Eurobeat.
Yeah.
So
we have a lot of fans of like DDR, and that, so if you like that kind of music, this is gonna be right up your alley, right?
Yeah, and we sort of been inspired by Orange Lounge Radio, so we kind of get on the tangent train all the time.
Nice.
Because, you know, it's not a good podcast if you don't have tangents.
That's very humbling to hear that, although to be fair, I don't think we invented the tangent here at Orange Lounge Radio. But
I'm giving you credit, so
you know
take
what?
It.
I'll take it. I'll take it. That's awesome. So you guys, do you play a lot of the music, or you just talk about it, or how does that work?
Both.
Both?
Because, you know, you can't really just play the music straight for copyright reasons. So.
Right.
I like to think we got away with it for talking over it and keeping it in a low volume. You know, just skirting the issue completely.
Sure.
It's like, this is a gray area.
It is a gray area. But, I mean, you tend to play stuff from, like, the probably, let's be real, most people probably haven't heard, at least right. in America. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Although, recently in the past few years, AVEX has been putting a lot of it on American iTunes. So, It's kind of like, years and years and years, US doesn't exist, and then like 2008-09 happened, it's like everything on iTunes at once.
Yeah. Well, that's been happening a lot with like video game soundtracks and other types of things that, you know, I remember we used to have to, you'd have the one corner of the comic book shop that would have like the import CDs from Japan,
yeah.
where it's like you have a Final Fantasy soundtrack and a, you know, Hamasaki Ayumi CD, and that's about it.
Yeah, and then they want like $70 for five songs, and it's like, you're smoking crack.
That's still A1 Comics.
Is that, you yeah. still do that there?
Except they do that for the bootlegs.
Well, and then I remember when it was the giant Virgin Megastore in, and this is not a place to buy Virgins, it was, you know, Richard Branson, but it was a Virgin Megastore in San Francisco, right, not far from the Metreon, used to have like all the, not just the Japanese imports, but then it was all like the Euro singles. So it's like,
yeah.
if there's like a Kylie Minogue song you haven't heard, they probably have it at the Virgin Megastore, right?
I wasted a lot of money at Virgin Megastore.
Oh, you're a Kylie fan too?
No, I was an import. I was a Ministry of Sound fan, and I used to pick up a bunch of different mix CDs from all these European imports, and they're like, I spent hundreds of dollars there.
Now. Mm-hmm. Let's rewind this a little bit to the same era for me in Alabama.
Okay.
Oh, I could order this for $100 with shipping? I'm ordering the single.
Oh my gosh. No way. No yes. way. That's how much it would cost to like get a game imported from Japan.
I can order a Super Famicom game for only $120. Yes, I'll order the Sailor Moon S fighting game. True story.
Oh, my gosh. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Loco Poco says, OLR perfected the tangent. Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. SSG100 Matt says, the things I'm hearing out of New York Comic Con is that it's a mess. Oh, JVmon, you ran out of town the weekend New York Comic Con's happening. Are you? How do you feel about that?
Around the time I was going to buy tickets, my sister's like, by the way, my wedding's the weekend of the 11th. And I'm like, God damn. And I'm not
going to You need to move your wedding.
That's kind of pretty much what I told her. I was like, it can't be the week before and after. She's like, nope, it's the 11th. And I'm like, well, you suck.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not going to lie, I sort of considered it. I was like, do I have to go for the whole weekend for the wedding? Can I just show up that morning?
Well, then does that make it, like, be honest, does it make you kind of feel better that you're hearing that New York Comic Con's a little bit of a mess? Because yeah. You're like, oh, since I couldn't go anyway, fuck them.
That, and I hear there's, like, this whole nonsense with banned weapons. Like, if it wasn't made out of
cardboard. I saw, like, garbage pails filled with weapons.
Yeah. If it wasn't made out of cardboard or foam, they pretty much... I'm hearing conflicting reports. They either took it from you and threw it out, or they took it from you and you got it back at the end of the day. Either way, that's, like, people work hard on that stuff. That's kind of BS.
Yeah, well, I mean, but if that's the policy of the con, you didn't read up on the policy or whatever.
But I also heard that they had, like, conflicting policies. Like, their mobile site said one thing regarding weapons, and the actual, like, PC site said something else.
Yeah, so, well, I don't. Maybe there's an overreaction, too, because I don't know if you've been on Twitter this week or whatever, but people, like, legitimately went fucking crazy this
week on
Twitter.
People went crazy on Twitter?
I know, right?
But did they have a ball pit? Was there a ball pit? Because that's really the most important part.
Hopefully Rama went. Hopefully Rama. Actually, I think John from Critical Myth went. So we might get the ball pit report from John if a little later.
I know that Kayla went.
Okay.
So I can ask her. She's actually cosplaying a couple of people.
We have spies.
Yeah. Well, I know that the big stink was about them confiscating cosplay props.
Right. Rama might have been too busy with that Buff Boys van outside of his place.
Oh, that's great that none of the listeners are going to know what that is. Let's see. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, people went crazy on the internet. No way. Dungeon Buster says, the arsenal of foam freedom. So, like, Nerf weapons were banned, too? That would be really sad.
No, I think, like, you could only get through if it was foam. So
okay. Well, that's good.
Nerf up the place.
Nerf weapons are fun. Like, why would you not have a Nerf weapon? Like, that's the honest question.
So they just stuck to the policy. It's Nerf or nothing.
Amazing. All right. We're just about 10 minutes out from our interview, but we're going to start tonight by going around and finding out for everybody here in studio, how was your gaming week and what types of video games have you been playing this week? Kind of establishing our frame of reference here before we get too far into the show. Dark Sakura, start us off.
I played Super Smash Brothers because I woke up after Yom Kippur and found that waiting for me, and I was like, ooh. So I've got that. I'm trying to remember to finish playing Bravely Default, which I've been sort of... because I've been so busy at work, I haven't really had a chance to. Final Fantasy XIV, which I'm... chopping down trees and stealing things from them. And today we did the thing. We broke out the ignition pads to test them with DDR Max. So DDR Dan Max. And I played DDR this morning.
Wow. Like legit, like DDR Max on PS2?
On our JPS2.
Wow.
Which is like, I'm old. I can't let my drawer out. You better sneak that disc in 5 nanoseconds or that's going to go, no, I'm taking it back.
Wow.
So our PS2 first model still works. Mm-hmm. Barely. So that's what we've been doing.
What made you decide to play that of all things? Was it just like...
make sure our dance pads worked.
Oh, that's right. You guys have a move coming up, so you're
probably
going to take
inventory. We picked up 3 ignition pads at the thrift store for $6.
Really? I want one.
Well, one of them was given away. We have 2 left. I didn't break yours.
Why didn't you call me
first?
You gave
it to me. You knew I had those because I put it on the internet 3 years ago. Look what I got at the thrift store by my house.
All I hear are excuses. No, I'm kidding. It's fine. Let's be real. Me playing DDR is my big butt on the couch with the controller going up, down, left, right, up, down.
Well, you know what? When I clean out the closet, when we start getting rid of parts of the vault, then I'll call you. We actually are going to be packing up the vault coming up this week.
I'll help you move, if games go missing.
I'm not looking forward to packing the vault because we're not keeping the shelves.
Moving is punishment for murder in some countries, I'm almost positive.
I'm going to have to take pictures of the shelves and put them up somewhere before we disassemble the shelves and get rid of them. And we're planning on getting bins for everything. So we're probably going to go off on tangents and say, let's see if this game still works. Let's see if this game still works. Oh, this is in the box. We could get $500 for this.
You should make a YouTube series out of this. I'm telling you, this is a golden opportunity here.
Effort.
I know. It's so difficult. Anything else quickly before we move on?
I like pie.
Loki, how was your gaming week?
I was programming. I didn't play anything.
It's still continuing on your programming request.
Yeah,
this is your like time between jobs right now, right?
Well, not much. I start a week from Monday.
Okay.
So, well, potentially start. It's either a week from Monday or 3 weeks from Monday.
Okay, whenever they decide. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But I mean, just watching the kids. So, but yeah, I've been lots of programming. I've been programming tools to make levels. So,
nice.
I finished that, and I was converting some stuff over to make it work with the new stuff. And I just found the mistake I made. So, I had to go back and fix that. But yeah, that's what I've been working on. I registered a site domain and a Twitter account. So,
all right, can you unveil the name of your company now, or are we waiting on that?
Well, I don't really have a company yet. It's placeholder because in order to file a trademark, you have to have evidence that you're using it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to have a website with the name of my game on it.
Got it.
For a while.
Got it.
And I actually have to build a website. And then once I've done that, then I can file paperwork to register the name, the trademark, and I don't know about trademarking the company. It's expensive.
Seems like a lot. Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, later
just
on.
Don't steal Loki's name, or you're a dick. That's basically how it boils down to, right?
Yeah. So it's I've got that, and I don't know. I've been just kind of bouncing around a bunch of different things. I looked for music earlier this week, but mainly just coding stuff. And now I'm pretty much done with the spot I was at. I was just getting a bunch of stuff. I was kind of trying to model the tools I'm making off of stuff that's like the same kind of tools that they have for making levels in Minecraft, like kind of like the world builder stuff or like Voxel Sniper or something like that. So I'm building similar things because that's what I've used before to, you know, make stuff in Minecraft, and that was super easy. And so since a lot of the stuff that I'm making for my levels is voxel based, even though it's not all cubes, I kind of based it off of that, just, you know, just to get some ideas for things to, you know, make it a little bit easier than plotting one block at a time, which would take fucking forever. So we'll see. I still haven't gotten actually tested yet because it hasn't worked yet, because I still have to fix this other bug here. I changed something that I thought I needed to change, but I didn't. So.
Ah, bug testing. What the life?
Yeah.
All right. I'll move on to my gaming week, then we'll get to our guests here. For my gaming week, I finally got my 70 hardcore character in Diablo 3 Seasonal. Thank you very much. Finally, it took me forever, but because I was too afraid to play on high difficulties because I didn't want to die. But I did. That was my first hardcore character ever, and I made it all the way to 70 without dying on a Demon Hunter. So, yay.
Are you going to encase it in glass and make sure no one ever touches it?
Pretty much. No, now that I got that and that was the goal, now's where I'm going to start playing really stupid. So this character will die at some point because I'm going to just keep pushing the envelope until... But that's okay because I reached the goal I wanted to reach, and that's the important thing. So I got my stupid transmog stuff in Diablo. So that made me very happy. I also played the Bayonetta 2 demo. Again, I don't want to rate a game based off the demo, but let me just say, the Bayonetta 2 demo definitely reminded me, like, oh yes, you need this game day one, because the first Bayonetta was so freaking great, and Bayonetta 2, it definitely just kind of reminds you. At least the demo is very short. It's like one playable level and like two boss fights, but it's just enough to remind you, oh god, this game is so over the top and amazing, like, oh, I miss this shit. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna pick that up when that comes out. Otherwise, those were pretty much the bulk of my week. A little bit of Final Fantasy 14 here and there, Destiny. Oh, one other game I want to mention, actually, that came out on PlayStation Plus. I've been playing an awful lot of, because PlayStation Plus got some really good stuff this week. You have Dust and Elysian Tale, which I just started, but I've barely scratched the surface on that. Spelunky, which I've played the crap out of on PC and PlayStation 3. But there was also another game in it, and I'm afraid this one's going to get overlooked, and I actually think it's one that's almost most deserving of your time, is Pix the Cat. Is the name, which is kind of a silly name, right? But this game is available on Vita and PlayStation 4, and it's not like a technical marvel. Like, the graphics are really things that probably could have been done on a PlayStation 2 or 3, but it's it has a very like classic arcade feel to it that makes it very addicting. And essentially, it's kind of like Pac-Man mixed with, I don't know, more or like Pac-Man Championship Edition kind of mixed with a puzzler sort of thing. Because what you do is you go around, you pick up these eggs, and then you drop them off in the little holes. But if you screw up and do it out of order where you don't pick up all the eggs first, then the eggs will crack and you don't get the bonus, so your meter doesn't fill up as much. So it's about pushing a high score, like a classic arcade game is. Yeah, Irene?
So this involves cats somehow?
I don't know why it's called Pix the Cat, because I don't remember actually like seeing... Oh, in the nostalgia mode, it's a black and white cat with like a little top hat.
Well, I was going to say, there's a, it looks like that's a cat in the picture.
I guess a little bit. I don't remember. I don't remember it having a lot of like cat traits to it. It's not like
Nintendo
cats. It's got
cat teeth and ears and a tail.
Fair enough. But yeah, for some reason, I'm like super addicted to this game. I keep like trying to rush the high scores and everything. So, and it's, you know, the loud techno music. And I swear they got the guy from Bejeweled to do some of the voices. You know, it's like Ultra Combo, you know, that type of thing. Like he does like some of the voices in this game too. You can change the voice to some, but you know, you want Bejeweled guy who does all the like, you know, the you got a perfect, you know, that type of stuff. So yeah, that game is like a surprising amount of fun. I've actually been playing that more than Spelunky or Dust, which surprised me because I thought I'd be playing the other two first. So it just goes to show you that a game doesn't necessarily need to have all these like extreme bells and whistles to be addicting. So there you go. Quickly, let's check in with our guests here and see what types of games they've been playing this week. Irene?
Well, I already mentioned Super Smash Brothers, so I don't really need to get into that because everyone already knows. I'm actually playing Oracle of Seasons because they had the Super Smash sale
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and I bought Ages and Seasons, and they didn't have Link's Awakening on sale, and I'm like, what the fuck, guys? But yeah, so that's been fun. Then off, you know, off and on, Bravely Default, that's always an ongoing project. And that's pretty much it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you are making good use of that 3DS.
Absolutely.
You don't just like play that one game and then go back to something else like I've been doing way too much lately.
I know you've never been poor, Rob, but it's what people do. They cherish what they have. So.
Yeah, right. I talked to you before the show about when the PS1 demo disc came. It was like, here's my game for the month. Yay. It's the first stage of Parappa 50 times I can play. Yay.
You and me both, sister.
But how much, you know, knowing that, where it's like, I'm going to play the first stage of Parappa 50 times, how much does it piss you off to see that Nintendo limits it to like 30 or whatever?
It depends on the demo. I'm more sad that some of the demos are just kind of really, really, like we were talking about the Feat Rhythm demo where it was just two songs. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, why just two songs? What the hell? But... you know, so I wouldn't get 30 plays out of that anyway, because it's like, I'm bored.
Yeah, now. Realistically, I would never hit the 30 cap on these demos. But Bayonetta 2 is 15. They're getting
pretty...
less. Pretty soon, it's going to be like, you get three.
Yeah.
They're making count.
Yeah. There's no real logical reason to limit it.
It better
really.
be nice, because pretty soon, they're only going to have 15 games coming out in a year. You know, with all the third-party support that they're losing.
I was like, the Wii U had 15 games this year.
Third-party, yeah, there's lots of third-party games.
Fair enough.
I mean, a lot of third-party terrible games, but I mean, I don't know.
All right, let me move on and check in with Piper. How was your gaming week? What types of games have you been playing this week?
I've been working a rigorous job, growing a beard.
It's hard work.
Yeah, my 3DS is broken. I had to take it in the shop, so I bought Theatre Rhythm and then didn't get to play it. Oh, I don't know what I can say here. My PSP got something done to it when it undergone elective surgery.
Okay, and so you just kind of left it somewhere, and then suddenly it was able to do these things it couldn't do before.
When I picked it back up, I can play any Mega Man or Nintendo game that I want on it.
Oh my gosh, mutant powers.
Yes.
It got bitten by a spider.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I've been abusing its mutant power on lunch breaks. And reading comic books.
Right, very controversial.
So that's my weekend gaming.
All right. Retro gaming makes sense.
Know what else can play any Nintendo game you want? This wonderful arcade cabinet that's sitting very underutilized right here.
I know. I've still got to set this thing up. You must have missed the part where I had a show last night, and I'm going to Vegas next week. So getting this thing finished is not on my priority list. Sorry, Logie.
Oh, I see what it is. You're just better than the game.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm taking my chocolate back.
To be fair, you know, absolutely fair, it does not have Miss World New, you know,
I know. That's why I was like, let it collect dust. If it didn't have Miss Newton,
at least, I don't think it does. It might be on there, but
the minute I get it up and running, that's the first thing I'm going to make happen. Like, how do I get Miss Newton World 96?
Okay, well, I just have to back up my collection from my arcade cabinet at home and bring it here, and then that way it will have that on there.
All right. Which, by the way, if you've never heard of Miss Nude World 96, I'll have to get into it another week. We got to get to our guest here in a minute. But lastly here, JV Mon, how was your gaming week?
Hi. Smash Brothers. Super Metroid with my boyfriend and Dead Rising 3. Smash Brothers. And I think, oh yeah, I played Smash Brothers.
Okay, you did.
Anybody's heard of Smash Brothers?
I think I had heard a couple things about how. Who's your go-to character right now?
Don't know. I kind of just like to pick random, although because I'm confused by him, I play the Duck Hunt dog a lot. Because why?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, like, I'm drawn to your strangeness type thing, right?
Like, the duck and dog are usually enemies, so.
How do you feel
now?
How do you feel about Smash on the 3DS as opposed to, you know, being on a console living room television? Because, you know, when I talked about it last week, I kind of said, you know, my biggest problem with Smash 3DS is that it's on the 3DS.
I could sort of see that, but probably for a different reason. Half the fun of Smash is playing with somebody else. And when you're on a 3DS, you sort of kind of coordinate with somebody. It's like, are you going to be online? Want to play Smash? No? Okay. Move on to the next person.
Right.
I mean, I have no problem with the small screen. I think it looks fine. I think it looks good. It's just playing by yourself can get boring.
Okay, fair enough. Yes,
I'll tell you in chat.
Okay. Is it an are we gonna settle this in Smash? Is that what's gonna happen there? All right, well, there we go. There's everybody's gaming week. But we are going to, actually, at this point, we're gonna move on into our interview part of the show, because we want to get here on the show. Bodhi Lee is going to join us from Lunar Ray Games, and they are currently creating the game Time Spinner. Time Spinner is a game created in the vein of Super Nintendo and PlayStation 1 classics like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Super Metroid, and Star Ocean. And Bodhi is going to join us right now. Bodhi, you there?
Hello.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am great. And we can actually see you. I'm waving hello, although you can't see it. I'm sorry, but we're running on a computer that's powered by a hamster, so I'm afraid to run a webcam. But thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule in developing the game to join us here.
No problem.
Now, for those that don't know about Time Spinners, tell us a little bit about it.
Time Spinner is a 2D Metroidvania about a young woman who travels through time to get revenge on an empire that killed her family.
So this side sounds like a really nice, fluffy, happy kind of story, isn't it?
No. It's a little on the darker side.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, no, that's all right. And I noticed that Time Spinner definitely has like an art style to it that feels very is very retro, very sprite-based and so forth. What made you decide to kind of go that direction with it?
I've always liked pixel art, and so when I was making the game, when I've been learning pixel art since like middle school, that like I've been trying to kind of incorporate all the styles of games that I like. So, for example, like the game has some art influences from Final Fantasy Tactics, and it has some from like the Castlevania games and like Star Ocean and other stuff. So I just took my favorite parts of other games, and that's how the game style like happened.
Nice. So you actually, and I, you know, reading through your site on Lunar Ray Games and so forth, you mentioned there that you actually used to work for Bungie, which I'm sure a lot of people know with Halo and Destiny and all that. But you actually ended up, you know, kind of leaving that to start this endeavor. That's a huge life change. What made you decide to make that change?
I think I just caught the indie bug. last May of 2013, I saw a Kickstarter for a similar game to Time Spinner called Chasm. It's also pixel art, also Metroidvania, but it's also procedurally generated, which Time Spinner isn't really. And I didn't know that Kickstarter was something that you did for games. I thought it was something that you did if you were going to start a restaurant or something like it started a small business. I didn't realize that you could be really successful with games. And so, like, they did really well, and I was super excited for the game. And the idea got in my head that, hey, I could do this too, since at this time I had been working on Time Spinner on my off time for probably like 4 years at that point.
Wow.
And eventually I would just spend the whole day at work daydreaming about doing that. And I kind of lost interest in, I like to use the word that I was cheating on Bungie with Time Spinner, and I left Bungie to, you know, get married to someone else.
I love it. You were having an affair, so you finally had to step up and admit that you've been cheating. So No, that's amazing. I love that. But you did very well on Kickstarter, you know, considering that this is, I mean, yes, it's been a project you've been working on for so long, but you did very well on Kickstarter for, you know, essentially this being your company's first game. What do you think was part of that success? Why did people really buy into this? I mean, literally.
I mean, since the Chasm Kickstarter, I'd been backing games that were very similar to that for like the year leading up to my Kickstarter. And I was just studying all of them about what made them successful, what things they did that were good, what things were bad. And I tried to kind of hit on all of those good points and not hit the bad points. I think a big part of the allure for specifically for Time Spinner was that it was darker and it had the 16-bit style of sprite art rather than like the more popular right now is like the 8-bit, like normal Nintendo sprite art style.
Right.
And also I think that like the trailer for the game was really kind of story heavy and just heavy in general. I think I felt like a lot of people related to that, or at least they were like, hey, this reminds me of kind of darker Castlevania games. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get on board with this.
I think there's just a lot of love out there for the Metroidvania type of game anyway. I mean, I know, like, that's, you know, you say Metroidvania, I perk up right there. I go, is this something I should be looking at? You know, like, so, like literally, I think that's how somebody sold me a copy of Rogue Legacy. They were like, Rob, it's Rogue, but a Metroidvania. And I was like, purchase. Things like that, right? Interesting, because you talk about you're inspired by these classics, but you're also inspired by a lot of indie games too. I mean, it sounds like you have these other indie Kickstarters. What types of, like, how else have indie games kind of influenced you in the indie movement?
I mean, they're all inspiration in their own ways. Like, Heartforth Alicia is, like, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's it was out a couple months before my Kickstarter, and it has like obscenely good sprite art, and that really inspires me to like do better, like be a better artist. And like Chasm has really good gameplay, and I mean, just all these other Kickstarters and other indie games are really inspiring because people are doing their own thing, and you know, I can do that too, and we can do it together.
I think that's so amazing too, that you are essentially doing this yourself, especially when you go and you look at, you know, the trailer for the game, which I encourage people to do. Check out what's going on with the game over at timespinnergame.com, and you can check out, you know, the latest trailer and so forth, and where you're at and all the artwork and all that. But you're essentially doing this yourself. I know you have some help with the music and voiceover, and I don't want to neglect those types of contributions, but you know, a lot of that stuff when it comes to the art and the programming, you're doing that yourself. I mean, what's the hardest part about that one-man band?
I think the hardest part is that, I mean, for me, the hardest part is the inspiration for art. Like, it's really hard when you want to make something, but you don't have the right inspiration to do it, and or when you go to make it, that it's not what you had in, like, originally imagined, and it's that sort of artistic failure is really frustrating. But that's really the only hard part. Like, the programming part's like really simple and easy, since that's what I was trained to do in school. and yeah, the actual, that's probably the hardest part, is the art. And after the Kickstarter, actually, another hard part is actually being kind of anxious, I guess is the word. 'Cause there's now so much I have to do, and it's all on me. And a lot of other Kickstarters have talked about this, how it's like suddenly stressful, the fact that you have all these people behind you and they're expecting you to like finish, and you're like, right. I was planning on doing this, but now kind of anxious now.
Right. Right. You know, Loki here in studio, he is, he's making his own game. He's trying, and he's doing the one man band thing too, with the exception of what, like music and some of that stuff.
Well, yeah, music right now is just all anything I can find Creative Commons, you know, cause so I have no money.
I was wondering if you had any, and then Loki didn't go to school for this, but this is what Loki does, is he learns by doing type of things. So I was wondering if you had any advice for Loki on making your first game.
Just do it. Like, the best way for me to learn things is by doing them and failing and learning from your mistakes. And also, if you need help with programming, just lots of Stack Overflow. That's generally what I do. Just Google, hey, how do I do this? And then Stack Overflow tells me what to do. I'm like, okay, got it. Thanks.
Yeah, kind of the same place there. And same with, you know, coming up with assets and stuff. That's always difficult. So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of what you're doing, I'm kind of seeing a lot of the same stuff right now. Just like, okay, you know, I try to cut corners of different things and then end up having to go back and learn the right way to do it. So
right.
It's kind of fun.
Now, Bodhi, I noticed one thing you do. You know, you talked a minute before about kind of like feeling that pressure about, like, I have to deliver this game that these people backed. But I thought one kind of clever thing that you're doing with this, and that kind of shows people, like, yes, I am working. I didn't take your money and run to you know, Tijuana. I'm actually working on this game. I'm doing it. You're doing live streams every week that really kind of like show the progress. I know there was one that I was catching on YouTube where I actually was watching you draw like one of the sprite art in the game, and I thought that was really cool. How have the live streaming that you've done helped kind of contribute to the game?
It's kind of a double-edged sword, because like normally when I work on art, I will work on it for a bit and then like take a break, go on a walk or something, and then come back to it. And with the live streams, I basically sit there for 3 hours straight and work. So it's really good for productivity. And I actually kind of enjoy having people there, you know, talking to me while it's happening and like suggesting things or giving me advice. Like, for example, at this week's stream, I was doing like a bird skeleton, and there was like a guy who's kind of like a biologist. He's helping me with all my bird anatomy.
You're doing it wrong. Oh, no.
No, it was a good thing. Like, I would be stuck on something, and I would ask them, like, so, wait, how does this work? And they tell me. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Got it.
That can be a bullet point on the list of features now. Authentic bird anatomy.
Yes. but I also really like the idea that, I mean, in a way, it takes the pressure off me, because I don't feel like I'm, like, hiding from them. Like, a lot of Kickstarters, when they get delayed, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, you aren't clear with the backers or something like that. Like, you failed to be upfront. And I feel like the streams are a really good way for me to be like, hey, this is me and I'm doing it. So you can't ever say I'm not doing it, because this is me every week.
Now, what's really cool is that, you know, if you somehow missed the boat on the Kickstarter, which I'm hanging my head in shame, I totally missed the Kickstarter. I didn't find out about this until later. But no, but this is cool, because I can still buy the game. If I go to timespinnergame.com, you're still offering a lot of similar types of rewards on your site right now. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, if people want to actually kind of pre-order the game, they can do that, right?
Right, right. On that page, there's like three of the lowest Kickstarter tiers, or at least similar to them. They have like, you get the game for the lowest tier with like one in-game item, and then the next two tiers also have in-game items associated with them, and you also get like a soundtrack for the second tier, and the second tier also comes with development forum access. So on the development forum, it's a special part. Like, I have a forum for the game, and then there's a smaller subsection that has me like posting pictures of stuff I'm working on that I like wouldn't post on Tumblr, because it's not quite finished, but it still gives people an opportunity to see how the game's coming even beyond like the live streams.
So you are very upfront. I mean, you've got these live streams, you've got a forum, and this is just you like communicating with all this too. You're very busy. No wonder this is a full-time job now for you. So
yeah.
Amazing. Now, I have to thank Princess Irene here in studio because I mentioned I was unfortunately late to the party. I apologize. But actually, Princess Irene's the one that turned me on to what you're doing there with Time Spinner. So I was curious if Irene, because you've been following this project a little longer than I have, if you might have anything you want to ask. By the way, Bodhi is here live with us on Sunday night. So if you have a question over at live.vognetwork.com, ask away and I will relay some of those questions. But Irene?
Well, hi.
Hi.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you because this game looks amazing and it's kind of pretty much an amalgamation of everything I've ever wanted in a game. And I'm happy that there's a female protagonist and just I can say a lot of things about it. But, you know, I don't know that I really have a lot of like pressing questions or anything. Maybe just how are you enjoying being your own boss?
it's good. I don't think I would want it any other way right now. Like I thought about maybe going back after I shipped the game to maybe work at a big studio, and I don't think I'd be as happy as I am right now, or at least satisfied with my work.
Sure. I'm not sure what... Oh, I'm sorry. Were you gonna say? Okay. I'm not sure what you had done at Bungie or Microsoft or anything, so is this more fulfilling for you, or is it... I mean, is it more tedious than you thought it was going to be, or how is it in comparison?
I'd say working at Microsoft was considerably more tedious because I was doing a test. And also both jobs, I didn't really have much power. That was also kind of frustrating for me I'm obviously a creative person, and not being able to be creative in my work was very frustrating. And it probably is one of the main reasons why I ended up leaving, was because I wasn't able to be fulfilled in my, you know, creatively fulfilled in my work. And now I can do that. I can imagine things and then make them. And that's my job. And that's pretty cool.
Very awesome. And I'm jealous.
Irene, I know you wanted to curb the love fest a little bit, but I'm like genuinely curious, you know, as like a gaming fan, like A, how did you find out about this? And B, like, what was it that just made you go like, yes,
yes, mama. Well, I heard about it through Heartforth Alicia, which is, you know, had another strong female protagonist, and it just, you know, it's sending the same signals to me. You know, it's got RPG elements, and you know, it's a magic based system, and just I don't know, obviously the whole 16-bit graphic thing is pretty cool. Just and
so it's like here is all of Irene's favorite games, and then we're gonna put it in a blender. And
yes, I mean literally like Final Fantasy Tactics, and you know, like, just like wow, okay, where do I pay my money? Take it all. So yeah, that's. Yeah.
I mean, technically, the game is a blender of all my favorite games. Like I'm just kind of regurgitating the story and my imagination onto the same canvas as those games.
Let me ask you, I know we have another question here in studio. Sorry, Piper. I just thought of something, though, that I definitely want to ask, because this is a very tricky thing. I mean, you're an indie developer of games. I'm an indie commenter, you know, of the games industry and so forth. And one thing that I'm always kind of worried about is, you know, if I listen to too many other podcasts, and I do try to listen to a variety of podcasts to support my indie people, but I'm afraid I'm going to tell a joke that some other podcaster used, or I'm going to do something that was already done in another podcast. Are you worried about, and maybe how do you kind of make sure you don't cross that line where you're just like copying another game? Like, how do you kind of keep yourself in check in that regard, like between influence and copy?
That's actually kind of difficult. And in fact, it's something I kind of screwed up on the Kickstarter. On the very first day, people realized that some of my tile sets, like the environment art for a couple of the areas, was really similar to Symphony of the Night. And like I addressed that on the first day. I'm like, yeah, I was learning how to do tile sets and I wanted to learn from Castlevania. But when I was like kind of emulating that style, I didn't put any personal inspiration into it. And so people caught on to that. So It is something you really have to be careful with, that even though you're taking inspiration from something, you need to mix a part of your own imagination into it to make it different. But I think, like, for art, you have to be very careful. But for gameplay features, like for how it plays, like, I think a lot of games kind of rely on just taking, like, flat out taking elements from other games. Like, games are, like, starting to take Dark Souls elements from it and or just like all Metroidvanias, they're taking elements and that's okay, like that they're outright taking it,
right?
As long as you know you add a little bit more to it, your own flair. And yeah, that's the most important part, I think, is adding to someone else's stuff is what makes it okay.
Okay. Let me go over, we have a couple questions in chat, but I actually want to go over to Piper here in studio, who also has a question.
Hello.
Hi.
So I don't want to bulldoze the sentiment, I guess, but yeah, similar to everybody else, I'm in love with the project. I've been following it for some time as well. And it's a blender of basically everything that's, oh man, no words. I'm not a programmer or have anything to do with the video games other than playing them, but I'm a writer. And I was curious as to if you get inspiration from doing this for a secondary project, if you have your mind on anything in the future, or if this is taking all of your time.
I think every time I'm doing something creative, I always end up getting kind of tangent ideas that aren't with my current project. And I definitely have ideas for like future games, and it just kind of happens.
I just want to point out the tangent train is not exclusive to podcasts. Therefore, so the tangent train is a very real thing, even in a game development. So
right.
There you go. Great. That's a great question. Let me dive into that a little bit, and then I'll get to these chat questions. But the writing, I mean, that's kind of something you have to do a little more originally. Where are you inspired with your writing specifically for like the story?
I'm going to be upfront. I'm really bad at like dialogue and actual like story words. So I'm actually bringing on someone to help me with that. And kind of make the story a little more fleshed out. But I really like world building, or at least the idea of like creating worlds and here's their history and here's what happened on this world and on the people on it and how the people are different from people in other worlds. And the actual Time Spinner universe takes place in a story that I've been kind of building since I was a kid, and like future games that I make will definitely still carry on in that same game universe. Story universe, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, Irene?
Oh, okay. Yeah, just to, I guess, follow up on that. I know that you, at least I read that you've conceived of this idea many years ago, like nearly 20 years ago, and that you have this whole universe that this world is sort of kind of a part of, like tangential to. So if, I guess this is kind of a premature question to ask right now, but if Time Spinner, for some crazy reason, doesn't end up meeting the goals that you want it to, like if it's not your definition of successful, are you planning on continuing the story in the universe through maybe another venue? Like, I know your thing is game design, but maybe you could collaborate with someone else to continue the universe on, or, I mean, maybe that's, I don't know.
I feel like the story universe is really important to me, and like I would be sad if I had to drop it, even if I like Time Spinner didn't do well. So yeah, I think I would still try to use that story somehow.
It's gonna do amazing, you know, but it's just a hypothetical.
I was gonna say, negative Nancy, he did amazing on the Kickstarter, so
you know, I just had to find a way to ask fine. That
right.
Okay?
Asking the tough questions, Barbara Walters over there. All right, going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. We got Dungeon Buster saying, it's great to hear about the streams. I've seen too many projects and good feelings wither on the vine because the devs fell out of updating their community. But you've done very good at, you know, kind of keeping up with the forums and all this other stuff. So just kind of getting some props there in our chat room.
Thanks.
And Dark Tetsuya says, any games in particular that inspired you in making Time Spinners? Well, I know we've talked an awful lot already about, like, you know, Symphony of the Night and so forth, but maybe let me twist Dark Tetsuya's question a little bit here and ask you, is there maybe a game that people would be surprised to know? I mean, you can look at Time Spinner and go, oh, okay, there's that Metroidvania vibe to it, but is there a game that people might be surprised to know actually influenced Time Spinner?
I that's kind of an interesting question. There's a Castlevania game that in particular I'm taking really heavy influence from called Order of Ecclesia.
Oh. That was the best. Okay, that was the second best in that style.
Yeah. I absolutely love that game, and I cosplayed the main character and everything. But yeah, I mean, I was pretty upfront with the inspiration on the Kickstarter besides that. Like, that's the only game I didn't really mention in the Kickstarter.
Okay,
like,
well,
Star Ocean. Like, I think that one might be a little weird for people because Star Ocean is, like, an RPG that's not really Metroidvania-esque. But I feel like I really liked the story of the first one, even though some people thought it was a mess. But I enjoyed it.
All right. Just a couple more questions here, and then we got to let Bodhi get back to developing you guys. But just a couple more questions here from our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. SG100 Matt is asking, do you get burned out when you're working? If so, what tactics do you use to get back on track?
I do suffer a lot from burnout. The problem with me is that if I work on the same thing, for example, like if I'm doing a tile set for an area and I do it for like a week straight, then I get sick of it and I don't want to work on it anymore and I'm not inspired anymore. So what I do is I try to jump to a completely unrelated task. And since I do programming and art, that works out pretty well. So like my most recent burnout was on, just like I said, the tile set for like a city level I'm working on. So what I did was I went completely tangential to work on the inventory menu, and that like broke me out of the burnout. So yeah, just hopping between completely different fields helps me out. And I've actually trying to take weekends off, seeing if that helps. Maybe it won't. I don't know.
All right. Yeah, you gotta have a day off once in a while. And I think that's, you know, despite the Kickstarter, and I know there's that pressure to deliver and so forth, if you don't have that mental wellness, then, you know, it's gonna affect things negatively. So give yourself some time off once in a while. ActDeft in chat. Speaking of that, let me ask this, and I'll wrap up after this question. But ActDeft says, how big is the pressure from being a Kickstarter-backed project? And ActDeft also clarifies, like, I don't want to sound rude. And I don't think that's necessarily a rude question, but, you know, how is that kind of pressure from being a Kickstarter-backed project?
It's definitely a lot more pressure than before the Kickstarter. Like, before the Kickstarter, I kind of was just working on stuff that I knew I needed to do, but whenever I was inspired to do it, I would work on it, and then if I felt like this wasn't progressing very well, I'd just jump to something else. Now, when I have, like, a release date, like, that I've told people about, there's a lot of pressure, and it's stressful, but I'm doing okay. I'm managing, and yeah, I think it's going to work out. And I think the fact that I'm being fairly upfront with people, especially with like the live streams and the forum, that even if I do slip, that it'll be okay. So I'm not freaking out too hard.
All right. Well, we're all rooting for you, and we know you've given yourself plenty of time to deliver a quality product, and it's looking like it's coming along really good so far. So we're all very hopeful here at OLR. Irene, want to close out here? One more question?
I do, and it's a really quick one. Top three favorite games ever, go.
Final Fantasy Tactics, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and Castlevania Order of Ecclesia. Like, I've played those many times, and I'm going to play them many times in the future.
Let me ask you this, since we ask a lot of our – I know I keep saying one more question. I lied. we ask a lot of our guests that come here on OLR, what have you been playing lately? Like, besides your own game, what have you been playing lately? Like, any newer stuff? Or do you focus simply on retro stuff? Or is there anything kind of lately you've been playing?
Lately, it's been a mix of AAA and indie. So the last couple games have been – so I'm doing Destiny right now. But before that, it was like Dark Souls 2 and all of its never-ending DLCs. And then on the indie side, like, I recently fell into Don't Starve. I had to like beat Adventure Mode so that I would stop playing it. So, because it's like, oh, I beat it now, I don't have to play it anymore. and also like Crypt of the Necrodancer, and I've been playing like the Chasm Alpha, which is pretty fun too. So it's a good mix of indie and AAA, I think.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I know we've taken up almost a half hour of your time, but we really appreciate you coming on here, and we really want to wish you the best of luck with the game. This is really cool because most people come on here, you know, when the Kickstarter's in progress, but you know, you're funded. This game's going to happen, so this is really cool. And if people want to continue to check out the progress, they can head over to timespinnergame.com. Anything else you want to throw out there, Bodhi? Like Twitter, Facebook? I don't know if there's other places online you want people to follow you.
It's everywhere, basically, at lunararaygames.com. So it's like on Twitter, it's at lunararaygames, and Facebook is slash that. Yeah, same on YouTube and Twitch. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, we wish you the best of luck with Time Spinner, and I know I will be pre-ordering the game, and I think some of us here in OLRC, you can thank Irene, probably sold probably like 5 copies of the game here in studio, so there you go. And
yay!
I can tell you one thing. I was watching the trailer again today, and my husband walks past me and goes, "You're ordering this, right?"
Yeah, like, I just bought it.
I was like, nice. Done.
Yes. You're welcome. I'm just kidding.
Well, there it is. Best of luck, and I hope we'll be able to check in with you again a little closer to the game's release and talk about the excitement of the big game release.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, keep us posted. Thanks again for your time tonight, Bodhi, and best of luck with Time Spinner.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, that was, again, Bodhi Lee with Lunar Array Games. Time Spinner. Early on in the interview, I accidentally said Time Spinners because my fat finger typed an S, but it's Time Spinner. So be sure to check that out, timespinnergame.com. Fantastic to talk to him. That's great, and it's so interesting to kind of hear about the similarities between like what I do as an indie, you know, broadcaster and what he's doing as, you know, an indie developer, and how many like similarities. I like how he kind of talks about, you know, sometimes I just have to, I have to get up and walk away, and I'm like, God, I've wanted to do that so many times during this show.
Me too. That's what I appreciate about him. He's rural, you know?
Yeah.
He's keeping it rural.
He's keeping it real.
Yeah.
Just he's the boss and all that stuff, and none of that corporate BS with these indie games. So
yeah. I can die now, by the way. That was great. I'm so happy.
But you must live to play the game.
Yeah. Yeah. But if I did die, you know, I'd be like, can you just send a copy to actually be hell, I guess. But yeah. Anyway, I'll get into that.
He's taking it to a dark place here on OLR.
A little bit.
Just send that care of the Lake of Fire. That'd be mine. All right. Anyway, thank you again for helping. Most people, I don't know if you know, but Princess Irene kind of really helped me get in touch and bring my attention to that whole thing. So I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for interviewing him.
You're welcome. Yeah. All right. let's get into some gaming news from the indie world to the AAA world to everything in between. Let's get into some gaming news tonight. And please, to our guests here in studio, please raise your hand, grab a mic. Feel free to comment on anything as we're going through tonight's news. Loki.
Well, I have news about an online game starting with D that's having server problems. No, it's not Destiny. It's actually Drive Club. Drive Club, unfortunately, has had some problems with servers not working or not working at all, or just, you know, I don't know if anyone's actually been able to connect online and play with other people, but apparently it's really rough right now. And to kind of fix that, or at least work towards fixing that, they've started disabling features, I guess. So, unfortunately, you know, some of the social features, I guess, have been disconnected, including, you know, challenges, updates, and I guess leaderboards and some of the other stuff like online multiplayer racing should be playable, although it's probably going to be a little bit tricky to get online. And of course, because of all these server problems, they halted the release of the PlayStation Plus version of Drive Club, so you won't be able to get that kind of piecemeal version of the game for you know, Plus subscribers, but it'll be coming later on. They just haven't said yet when that's going to be, so that sucks. But
God, every time I'm hearing about this game, I swear to God, the news is something like this.
I think, you know, the social features, I'm not really sure if it's that important. I'm not sure if it's anything like, you know, because when I think of Drive Club, I think of, like, Forza Horizon. And I don't know if it's just, obviously, I don't think it's open world, so you're not racing with each other. But I don't know. It seems like the game was delayed because of social and online features before, and now it's being delayed sort of again. It seems like when it was released, it still wasn't quite ready yet. I don't know. It's kind of disappointing.
Do you think this game is hosed now because of all these problems? Because I kind of think Sony has this really amazing way of being able to like make people forget about fuck ups. Like, remember the whole credit card breach, and they were like, "Oh, that nobody actually had money stolen. Here's some free games. We'll just forget that ever happened."
I don't think that it's hosed. I mean, it's only been a few days since the game came out. I hope it gets better quicker than, say, like Battlefield 4. I mean, I just hope that they fix the problem quickly, because that kind of sucks, since, you know, it is a comparable racing title to like Forza Horizon, and I don't know, Horizon just sounds more exciting to me. Why can't Forza Horizon be on the PlayStation 4? It'd be a perfect world. But no, it's just not.
Act Deft in chat says Forza Horizon 2 wins this round, I think, so far.
Yeah,
so.
Unfortunately. Well, and there's things about that too, but I don't know. It's just, it's a little disappointing, because, you know, if I was going to get PlayStation 4, this would have been kind of one of the games I wanted to get, but it's not quite Forza Horizon or even like a Gran Turismo. But, you know, there will be other racing games coming out. I mean, there's plenty of other racing games. Like, The Crew, I guess, is quite open world, so hopefully that's a little bit better. And then also, was it, not Drive Club, but Project Cars is going to be coming out later in about a month or so. So, there's options.
I sort of think, too, because there's that PlayStation Plus angle with this game where they're going to give a significant portion of it, or a very meaty demo or whatever, away for free. And I use my quotey fingers because, you know, you have to have a PlayStation Plus account. But I think a lot of people that own Sony products now have one because, you have to have it to play online now.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to play Drive Club, you probably want to have
exactly
that.
Exactly, right? So I kind of think, and, you know, there's a lot of people like, oh, this game failed. I'm not going to play this game now. And I'm like, yeah, you are. If you have a PlayStation Plus account and they come out and it's free, people, you're going to download it.
Just like Destiny or Diablo 3 or Battlefield 4, people are still playing it, even though it's just... How long did it take them to fix that shit? I mean, a long time. So, I don't know. It's just... It might be one of those games that, like, I don't need to get right away. Maybe wait for it to come down in price a little bit. Or, hey, you know what? If you really kind of... Well, I don't know what the performance is going to be on this. You're probably going to have PlayStation Plus already. Just wait for the demo to come out. Check it out. If it's something that you want, buy it. If it's not, enjoy what free part of it you got.
There you go. I think for me, like, I just want to get in there and, like, control it to know, like, is this something that I can actually play, like Forza, Burnout, or Mario Kart, a little more arcade style? Or is this going to be, like, you know, Gran Turismo, where I'm just consistently crashing into the wall?
Well, that's the thing, is it's by the guys that did MotorStorm, and I loved, like, MotorStorm Apocalypse, which was a game that no one really cared for. But
that was the one that came with the 3D TV, wasn't it?
They had one, yeah, that came with that. Yeah, but, yeah. No, it was a great game. I mean, it was one of those games that I bought a review copy or something like that. It came out right before the whole network thing went down for, you know, a few weeks, and that was when they delayed the release of that, so I got to play it for like a month before it came out. It was fantastic. I love that game, and I even like the other MotorStorm games, even though they're a little bit frustrating and whatever. But I'm curious to see how this game is, you know, different, because obviously it's a different, you know, it's not an off-road racing game. It's I don't know.
Now, I see JV Mon in our chat room over there inciting some Forza chat there throughout all this. So wait a minute, JV Mon, what's going on here? So are you poo-pooing Drive Club and you're just like, who cares?
I honestly had no idea it came out. It's been pushed back for so long. And when this story came out, I was like, oh, it finally released.
Well, sorta.
Well, there wasn't much.
It either did or it didn't.
There wasn't much fanfare about it. That's the thing.
It's kind of. It's like one of the. It's like that furniture they bought at IKEA and then they built it backwards accidentally. You know, like after all this time, that's what
There's
happened.
There's probably still a piece or two missing.
Exactly.
Or left over.
Like, why do I have screws left over?
It's a hack. It's a hack.
IKEA hack.
But that's the thing. Is like, seriously, when you look at, you know, major Sony titles coming out for like the fourth quarter, they don't have a whole ton. It's Drive Club and Little Big Planet 3.
And wasn't Drive Club supposed to be like this big super launch title for the PS4, and it's a year later?
Yeah,
like,
at one point,
just limps out of the gate with problems.
It's kind of lowered expectations. But I mean, I don't because this game has all these problems right now, I mean, let's be real. If the game kicks ass in a couple weeks, everybody will forget.
Oh, I'm totally going to play it.
Two words, Diablo 3. Anything can be fixed in gaming now. Like, seriously, that's always going to be, no matter how fucked up a game is, I'm going to be like, remember Diablo 3, y'all? Remember? That game was a hot fucking mess, and now look at it.
Or this is, you know, very familiar to me. Like, remember Lair?
Mm.
Remember how that was supposed to be a fucking kick-ass launch title and it got delayed? And
was that the
got...
one with the flying dragons on the six axis? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, oh, boy. All right. Brad from Pod Culture talking about racing games in our chat room saying a blur for the PlayStation 4 would be great. Yes, it would. Boy, that really sucks that somebody had to close that studio. Fucking jerk.
I would buy somebody a second PlayStation 4 just so I can have somebody play a PS4 version of Blur.
Right? I guess I can kind of cross my fingers and toes that maybe somehow this whole, like, Sierra... I mean, Sierra's doing the Geometry Wars now.
Those Bizarre Creations, right?
Now, I know Criterion's working on some other sort of extreme sports game that's not Burnout, but God, I would love a new Burnout.
Yeah, that'd be nice. All right, let's move on. Now, remember how I talked about, hey, Sony has a way of making you kind of like come around and worship at the altar of Sony, right? Well, sure enough, they did a big one this week. Remember when VibRibbon showed up at E3 and we were all like, yes, VibRibbon, oh my God, they're going to announce a new VibRibbon, and then they didn't, and everybody was like, stop fucking being a tease, yo. So they ended up, actually what happened this past week, Sony kind of, like, I don't want to say they apologized, but they did kind of come out and say, you know, when we were talking about it at E3, we knew it was out in Europe and Japan. We kind of forgot that it wasn't out in North America. So you know what? It's out now on PlayStation 3 and PS Vita. So if you want to play VibRibbon, you can go get it right now on PlayStation 3. And so it came out this week. Not on PS4. Because the reason is because remember VibRibbon is a PlayStation 1 game and it has all the you can actually eject it's a download game, so there would be no disc in your PS3 drive unless you still have, you know, another game in there, but you can actually put a CD in the PlayStation 3 drive and it will do that whole custom soundtrack like it did before. Can't do that on the Vita though.
I will admit that we partly bought our JPS2 so I could play VibRibbon without having to hold the thing down and do the other thing.
The paperclip and all that.
Yeah. On my PS1.
I'm kind of poor, so are they gonna release it for the Commodore 64 anytime soon?
Probably not. I don't think the Sony game will be on the 3DS anytime soon, so I don't, unfortunately. But, you know, to finish answering the question why it's not on PlayStation 4, it's a PlayStation 1 game essentially being emulated. And keep in mind, PlayStation 4 isn't playing emulated games at all right now. PlayStation 4 does have PlayStation Now, which someday will have the PS2 and the PS1 games in it too, but it's not there yet.
There's also the rumor that eventually it's going to have native PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 support, but...
That'd be tricky.
We'll see.
That'd be tricky. Maybe PlayStation 1, because somebody could probably build a pretty kick-ass emulator. But I don't know, 2 and 3 would get pretty difficult. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, a Vita can, you know, play PlayStation 1 games. And fuck, a PlayStation 4 should be able to play PlayStation 1 games.
It really should. Bonds006 in our chat room saying, so is VibRibbon better than AudioSurf? They're both pretty good. AudioSurf's only on PC, though, and VibRibbon's not. So
speaking of which, if you're on a budget, you know, there's a PlayStation TV coming out in, like, a week, and you can play VibRibbon on that.
A PlayStation TV?
Yeah, it's a Vita without a screen. You plug into your TV for $99.
$99? Do you know how many things on the McDonald's dollar menu you can buy with $99?
$99?
That's how many.
Tax.
Ooh, girl.
99 in Oregon. Oh, all right. All right. So, you can check out VibRibbon now. I will admit, I didn't get around to downloading it, but I'm going to because I'm very excited about it. But it's like, I got to go back and turn the PS3 on. I've been doing nothing but picks the cat on my PlayStation 4. Come on.
Thankfully, my PS3 is hooked up. So I am definitely going to be getting VibRibbon as soon as I get a day off.
To be fair, back in the day, you were doing Pix the Cat on your 3DS as well.
You mean Pix of the Cat on my 3DS. I see what you did there. That was a little bit of a highbrow
womp,
joke.
Womp, womp.
Boy, you are just comedy fucking gold tonight. All right, let's move on.
Well, how about...
I feel like there needs to be a 2-drink minimum to listen to this show, Logie.
I'm already on my second drink.
I could have some more coffee. That'd be great.
Did you hear about the Red Bull settlement, by the way, Loki?
Free Red Bull?
Yeah, so like $15, because apparently Red Bull... It's $10 or $15 in Red Bull product. You know which one Loki's opting for.
I'd just rather have the $10 and then go buy like a Monster.
Because they came out and said, you know, hey, we mismarketed Red Bull and it might be unhealthy for you. And Loki's like, yay, more.
Wait. Did Red Bull decide this on their own, or did people sue them for it?
It's a settlement.
It's a settlement because it doesn't actually turn you into some sort of Pegasus or something, you know? So, unfortunately...
You don't grow a tail from breaking Red...
You're not the one-winged angel
anymore.
I
wonder
anymore,
if I could then do the same thing about Rockstar putting my husband in the hospital.
Oh. That's probably already happened.
Probably. I'll just have to tell him to look for a class action, and we can get it on that.
Well, a lot there of rock stars end up in the hospital, so... Yeah.
And then we'll probably just use it to buy coffee.
Loki, do we know what this means for the Flugtag? Is that shut down?
I don't think so. I think they're still going crazy with, you know, all sorts of extreme sports things in the name of
Flying
Red Bull
machines.
Four Loko's okay though, right?
Oh, that's been banned for a while now.
Becky and I were actually having a conversation, is like, if our legal system actually used the common sense rule, mm-hmm. how many of these class action lawsuits would never go through, and how much smarter our population would probably be.
Think about the lawyers. They need jobs.
I try not
too.
To. I get nauseous.
All right, next story.
So anyway, there. We had mentioned the PS Vita before. There is going to be something very special coming out for Vita. And that's Minecraft! Yay! Basically, it's going to be on PSN a day before it is in Europe. And it's also basically anybody who has a copy of it on PS3 will get the Vita copy for free. And that's also people who own physical as well as PSN versions. And it's supposed to be out on November 11th. It's a cross-offer, so basically you buy one, you get the other. You can upgrade the PS4 one for $5 more, and you can do transfers between PS3 and Vita, as well as your DLC. So, hooray, Minecraft people.
God, it would be even more awesome if it was, you know, you could play with people on the PlayStation 3 on the Vita.
Yeah, or even 3 and 4 would be kind of nice.
Or any of them, yes. Yeah.
I have Minecraft on the PlayStation 4, but that's, you know.
Well, I understand why you wouldn't be able to with the PlayStation 4, because the worlds are bigger, so that'd be kind of like, I'm
true.
Outside the world. You can't come with me. No, but PlayStation 3 and the Vita one, I think, are pretty much the same. And, God, I almost want a PlayStation TV for that. But that would be such a waste of money, because I have a PlayStation 3, but... You know.
You're right. That would actually be a waste of money. Like, what is the goal of getting Minecraft on the PlayStation TV? To play Minecraft on your TV? Wait, you can do that already.
I don't know. And I wouldn't even want to do that because, like, I have it on PC.
Exactly. And you can mod it on PC.
Are people still playing Minecraft?
Oh, yes.
Like, nobody's
oh,
yeah. tired of it?
Oh, yeah. Go on to the PlayStation Live or go on to Twitch, and there's still tons of people streaming Minecraft. Well, I mean...
Apparently Microsoft thinks so. I mean,
you did hear Microsoft paid like $2 billion.
Yeah, and I'm confounded by all
of this.
I was
walking through the toy aisle at Target the other day, and there was a freaking like foam Minecraft pickaxe that I can.
They have new Lego sets too.
Oh my,
I want those Lego sets.
It's a
way of
life.
There's tons of stuff.
And the movie.
Like Kmart had a bin of the, as they're buying toilet paper, but they had, well, because the toilet paper is the only thing there that's not out of style. But they had a little bin of Minecraft plushies, too, like the animals.
As long as there are 10-year-olds alive, Minecraft will be relevant.
Yeah. I mean, remember, it is still really huge in the family-friendly market, so to speak. So, Zenthral in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com says, do people still play Minecraft? Does a bear shit in the woods? There you go. Wow, I guess you just got told there.
A bear shits wherever it needs to shit.
If a bear wants to shit
on the hood of your car, that's where a bear will shit.
And maybe the animals in Minecraft will soon shit. We'll see.
Who got told now? Ooh.
You could probably arrange
bears
that
can shit
body.
Anywhere.
Well, before too long, you're going to be able to Minecraft on anything, too. So
they're going to Minecraft on it.
All right, let's travel around the world.
I'm done.
Travel around the world. You can't even. Are you unable to?
This one can't.
Can this only be fixed with a pumpkin spice latte at this point?
You could go make me coffee again.
Let's travel around the world first and check out some release date. Listen to her. Go get me coffee, Rob.
Wow, that's very like demanding.
I'm a great guest. No, I was kidding, Rob. I don't want any more of your coffee.
Okay. Well, I want some release dates. Let's get to it.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, dog.
All right, let's get to it. I'm extremely excited because this week we have Borderlands, a pre-sequel, coming out on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC. Sorry, people that have those newer systems. You don't get to play Borderlands yet until they release the inevitable, like, HD-er version of the Borderlands trilogy. So expect that probably in 2015 because that seems to be the trend. Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures 2 on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Wii U, 3DS, and that's it. God, why? Duck Dynasty for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, 3DS, and Wii U.
Rednecks play games too, remember.
As long as people are buying that, like, big game hunter and all that stuff, I'm sure there's a...
Somebody does.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's classier, Cabela's or Duck Dynasty?
Cabela's, actually.
Yes.
Now that we all agree.
Wow. That was a weird fucking conversation. All right.
Let's see. The Evil Within, coming on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Sleeping Dogs, the Definitive Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Oh my gosh.
The Walking Dead Complete First Season on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Walking Dead Season 2 on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Pop Tropica Forgotten Islands on 3DS. Ooh, Pets games. Pets Countryside and Pets Beach on 3DS. I think this was delayed, but Senran Kagura Shinobi Versus Limited, the Let's Get Physical Edition, if I remember correctly.
The Olivia Newton-John.
I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, yeah. Let's get physical.
It's on Vita. Let's see what else here. Oh, Tears to Tiara 2, Heir of the Overlord on PlayStation 3. And they're doing, I guess, a re-release of Need for Speed Rivals, the Complete Edition, on PlayStation 4 and Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and Xbox One. Oh, gosh. Man, there's a lot of stuff.
And well, we're getting into that holiday season.
That is it.
All right, that's it. Well, traveling over to Japan, very different story. There's a lot of releases on the 23rd, but for this week, the 16th, only the Vita is seeing releases right now. Because, you know, the Vita, it's kind of a different story over in Japan. There's lots and lots of releases in Japan for the Vita, and this week, no exception. Your releases this week on the PlayStation Vita, Dramatical Murder Recode in regular and limited edition. Dramatical Murder.
I like that.
Let's see. Chaos Rings 3 prequel trilogy comes out from Square Enix on the Vita this week. And lastly, Amnesia World Later Cross Crowd V Edition. There it is.
That's like they threw random words together.
I know, it really is.
Amnesia. Pork chop cactus hairline.
What, what is Amnesia World? I forgot.
Ha 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 ha.
Where's that trombone?
We'll just have to flush that one down the toilet. Anyway, all right.
Real time sound.
I have the fail ones bookmarked just for this program.
What a time to be alive!
I wasn't gonna break the fourth wall and be like, Irene, get away from that toilet.
You'll notice I don't have the win ones bookmarked, just the lose ones.
There's a reason.
Hey, let's go to Europe.
Sure, let's go right now. Bye.
Right now.
I'm actually going to do the next 2 weeks just because we won't be here.
Whoa. What? Hold on. Breaking news. Super important. Very important. Loco Poco in chat. Dramatical Murder is a BL/Yaoi game, Sky. Oh. Whoa. Well, this Dramatical Murder just got a lot hotter.
Yaoi.
BRB it, going to get dramatical
is
murder.
Is it sexy murder? What is this? I want to know.
Does it involve corn cobs?
Murder Dramatica.
What? Irene, what did you say over there?
I said, gonna murder that ass. That's it.
This is the murder he wrote.
Murder that ass. You're the one that just ate McDonald's.
About Europe.
Oh yeah, Europe.
Stop
hey.
Following me to the bathroom, you guys.
I forgot to take the microphone with you.
On the 14th of October, we have Peggle 2 for PS4, The Evil Within for a bunch of stuff. On the 15th, we have Vib Ribbon in the UK for Vita and PS3. On October 17th, Borderlands, the pre-sequel, which is super fun, and I suggest everybody get it because it's awesome. F1 2014 on PC, PS3, and Xbox 360. On the 21st, Dreamfall Chapters Book 1, and then the Dreamfall Chapters, The Longest Journey. On the 22nd, Chromaya. The 23rd, Stealth Inc. 2. 24th, Bayonetta 2, both for Wii U. Just Dance 2015, which I know you're all excited about. Shadow Warrior and Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth.
Back to Bayonetta real quick. Those are bundled together, correct? The first one comes with... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some type they of like...
That is listed separate listings in the UK, so...
Yeah. Just so you know, by the way, Irene, your little quote has our chat room up in arms there. And Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, I can't even right now. Congratulations. Our chatters cannot even. The listeners are unable to. They cannot.
You're welcome.
All right. Pumpkin spice for all.
Rob.
All right.
Rob.
Yes.
Rob.
What?
Rob.
What?
Rob.
What?
Coffee.
How about we do a couple more...
I found the ferret the other day.
How about we do... Oh, Lord. I thought we'd burn that thing. All right.
Midna found the ferret.
Of course.
There was like four or five of them. They've got to be actually
around. The original ones at my house.
Some of them we gave to listeners, too. Like very special, like super fans. So, anyway.
They're expensive to buy nowadays.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, Fifth Dream is a person after my own heart who is streaming Hot to Full Boyfriend, which I still do every Tuesday. Between 5 and 6.
Did you see now there's a Kickstarter for a bear dating sim? And I'm not talking about like, you know, what you'd see at the Bolt on Saturday, but I'm talking about...
No.
I got so much
it
less excited.
It doesn't get any better than dating pigeons.
If somebody wants to make a game where you date bears.
Well,
so.
Good for them. I'm going to keep playing the pigeons.
All right.
Can they shit anywhere?
You know what? I'll try to get them on the show and we'll ask. Why don't we?
Thank you.
All right. Barbara Walters over there asking the hard questions. Just a couple more. In your game, can the bears shit wherever they want?
Do the bears have a choice of defecation location?
Is the shit high res or is it in pixels?
All right, a couple more stories for you guys. And then
That's it. I want to make a game called Pixel Shit.
The classic.
Pixel Shits.
Help, the show is losing control. Help, help.
New OLR dream game, Pixel Shit.
I can't even right now. A couple more stories and then the classic game of the week. Loki, help.
For some reason, when I hear it was a defecation location, it makes me think of, was it a conjunction junction or something? I don't remember.
Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. That should be a Schoolhouse Rock
function.
Song. Anyways, so apparently Unity may or may not be up for sale. It's kind of confusing. You know, some thoughts are, yeah, they're looking for someone to buy them. It may be Google. Google might be offering them money. No one seems to know. But it's possible that they may sell out. I really wish this was a little bit more, I don't know, firm as... You know, I think everyone's kind of on the lookout of companies, you know, acquiring other companies right now, especially since we've just had, you know, a few major ones with, you know, Twitch and, you know, Mojang, Oculus. So I've been hearing the whole, you know, Google might be buying Unity for a while now, but we'll see. I guess you'll just have to wait for the actual Unity, you know, was purchased by Google.
Apparently Google wants to buy something.
They always want to buy something. It would, I mean, if
hey Google, want to buy an online network with some podcasts?
If they wanted, to, I mean, if they're looking to like seriously get into, I mean, don't even really have to like. I don't know what the point would be in buying them. I mean, other than locking it down, I mean, more funding maybe. That'd be kind of cool. I'm just worried that's going to go, you know, the route of like one of these other companies. Like I know. One of the ones I saw in a lot of these articles citing Renderware and stuff, the EA bought them and kind of, you know, shut them down. So I don't know. But I like Unity. Hopefully that if someone does buy them, they kind of leave them alone, just give them money. Because that'd be nice.
Leave me alone and give me money. That's a good company
principle.
That sounds
like
there.
My marriage. No, no, no.
All right.
Well, I mean, it you know, definitely since you can export to, you know, Android and stuff, I think that would be, you know, it's obviously something that, you know, pleases Google since you can have a lot more content on there. And thank God that they're sane and don't require you to own an Apple to fucking publish to iOS. Thank you, Apple.
All right. Let's move on and talk about a game that I'm sure is going to be sucking down a lot of money because it has the name Final Fantasy in it. So with that reason, people are going to be like, here's my money. This is Final Fantasy Explorers, which is coming out soon in Japan. And this is, Irene, might be up your alley. I don't know, because it is a 3DS game. Actually, this might be more a Piper's thing if he's a big Theatre of Them fan. I don't know. Final Fantasy Explorers, you heard much about this? Either
I
one of you?
Not yet.
Not yet? All right. Final Fantasy Explorers is kind of like Final Fantasy meets Monster Hunter. It's kind of what this is all about. Because you know Monster Hunter is like huge over in Japan, right? So they're making this game. And it is coming out in Japan pretty soon. But Final Fantasy Explorers going to have some things that you don't typically see in 3DS titles. For one of them, it's not going to have full 3D. That's right. You're going to have a 3DS game with no 3D. Well, I guess...
You can finally play a game on your 2DS.
Essentially, yes. Well, now, to be fair, I was kind of thinking, I was like, have there been other games that have done this? And actually, yes, Pokemon X and Y had this too, where only the battles were in 3D, I think, and then all the overworld stuff was in 2D. But let's be real. You want to talk about a game that was for the 2DS? That was just a Pokemon system was what that thing was, right? So, yeah, Final Fantasy Explorers not going to feature 3D throughout the whole game. However... it will feature support for, you ready for this? The Circle Pad Pro. Did anybody pick one of those up when Kid Icarus was all the rage?
No.
Anybody? Yeah. So, but if you happen to have one, Final Fantasy Explorers will support that. It should also be noted that the new 3DS and the features that are available on that system will also be supported by Final Fantasy Explorers. So, you know, because the new 3DS will have that extra stick, so that can control the camera and the extra shoulder buttons will control the lock-on feature. It should also be noted that the new 3DS still hasn't been confirmed for America, so...
But they like to wait to the last minute when announcing dates for things.
They kind of do, don't they?
I would not be surprised if we have that. I mean, considering it's coming out in other places around the world this year, I would not be surprised if we get it this year.
You still think the new 3DS is a possibility for this year?
I think it'd be maybe December.
I'm going to guess that we'll get it before the end of the fiscal year.
I think we'll get it around the time that the next Pokemon game comes out, which is the end of November.
Okay.
Because...
But again...
What sells systems? Pokemon!
Pokemon could sell a lot of 2DSs, too. You know, it's...
Well, that's a win-win still, I mean.
That's true.
Because that's even more of a win for them, because guess what? You bought a 2DS, and now if you really want to get, you know, the best bang for your buck to play the newest Pokemon game that'll come out in a year or so, you're going to need the new 2DS, or the new 3DS, or the new 3DS.
I really hope that they decide to maybe give it another name when it comes out here. I don't know. It's still
they
weird.
Won't.
All right, whatever. All right, well, let's, you know what, let's travel back in time to a time when games, like, they weren't in 3D. You didn't have 3D games. Well, maybe you had Rad Racer. You did have that. But it's time to visit gaming's archive and step into Jamie's vault before she puts the whole thing in a box.
Bunch of boxes.
And, find one game notable of being the classic game of the week. And I noticed, Dark Soccer, your Capcom comes to an end this week.
I said that last week.
Oh, I forgot.
Because I have to put a little bit more gap before I jump to CPS1.
All right. So we're visiting something else this week, Dark Soccer. What is the classic game of the week?
Get Bass! Also known as Sega Bass Fishing. I picked it. Basically, this was an arcade fishing game. It came out in 1997 for the Sega Model 3, and it has been since ported to the Dreamcast. It's on Windows, Xbox 360, PS3, and the Wii. And this game was notable for coming with a special controller that you used as a fishing rod. I will be talking more about that later because it was awesome. So basically, you just fish. That's all you do. You have to hook and reel in fish. You use different kinds of lures. There's different stages of fishing, so you can actually get different kinds of fish based on what time you fish. It's a big fishing sim. And the thing is, I don't know how Sega did it, but they made it fun and not completely boring like real fishing. Especially when you would catch the fish, and it would say, "Fish get!" Well, on the Japanese version, anyway. And then the person would go, "Fish!" So it was just such full of a rather a cornball stuff just from that era of Sega games. Because you know what also else came out like soon after that was like Brave Firefighters and Jumbo Safari was out and all of those kind of weird games. Please enter your name. But I don't even know why this game was so fun, but I don't really know many people who don't like this game. It even had a sequel, which was Sega Bass Fishing Duel, which came out on PS2. It was a multiplayer. And then there was a Rails crossover that was called Sega Bass Fishing of the Dead. It was reported in 2012, but it was an April Fool's joke. I would have absolutely bought it, though. And then, of course, we also, after that, had Sega Marine Fishing. Now, this is why I picked this game. This is the game that gave us the fishing rod controller. This is the game that created Rod Caliber. I don't know if I've probably told everybody what Rod Caliber is. I'll say
about
again.
About 1,000 times on this show.
Hey. Who is Rod Caliber?
This is playing Soul Caliber on Dreamcast with the fishing rod. You can swing the thing around like you're sword fighting and actually beat the game with the fishing controller.
Can you nunchuck it? Can you be Maxi?
I did beat it with Maxi, the first person I played with. And then I also did beat it with Sofatia. And actually, Valdo is remarkably good with the rod controller. And all you do is swing it around like you're flailing to death. And that's Rod Caliber.
The analog of button mashing.
Yes. I tried doing DDR Caliber once. That didn't work. However, that's how I learned that my Dreamcast dance pads, that my corner buttons were analog.
Oh.
Fish!
Sorry, I just...
Fish! Fish! I wanted that as my text tone for the longest time.
So cute.
Would it have been wrong if in this game you could catch Echo the Dolphin?
Or what's that semen-looking guy?
That's for Sega poaching fishing. That's for Sega deep-sea poaching.
Mm. Are we sure this isn't bass fishing?
It was actually funny. I looked up Get Bass first, and it actually was like nothing but bass playing videos. I was like,
oh.
So then I had to put Sega Get Bass, and then that's when I found it.
Get Bass. Get Bass, and it's all Geddy Lee and... Bootsy. Let's Playpool or...
And Bootsy. And
Bootsy. Okay. Ain't Bootsy.
No, I found like two of the first videos up there were like Bootsy Collins. So it was pretty cool.
It's because Parliament rules overall.
Yes.
I think I'm looking at this and I think I still prefer Ocarina of Time. I would rather play that than this.
Well, you know, we've been doing Classic Game of the Week since what, episode number 250? So there's been about 300 classic games. Pretty sure Ocarina of Time's been done. So we're starting to, dig a little deeper. These are the deep cuts.
Yeah, I guess.
But
skip to track 4.
As much as I've talked about Rod Caliber, I had to bring up the origins of Rod Caliber. And this game is actually super fun if you're really drunk.
I still see shit like this in the arcade all the time. And fish!
Rod Caliber is also an awesome porn star name.
I was going to say it sounds like a detective, like somebody you'd find on Matlock calling Rod Caliber.
What kind of Matlock are you watching? That's on the channels where you have to watch... Through the third party version of the show.
When we make pixel shit, it'll be starring Rod Caliber.
Is your
TV Land After Dark.
Is your PSP modded to play Rod Caliber?
Of course. I'm going to get Bodhi to make Rod Caliber the game. Very similar to Ace Attorney.
If you don't play, Rod Caliber plays you.
All right, there it is. Your classic game of the week. Sega Bass Fishing.
Fish.
Or Bass Fishing.
Fish. All right. With that super
fish
bass.
Get.
I just now I hear Nicki Minaj in my head. Look at what you did. Look at what you did.
You I'm sorry.
Super bass.
Thank you. All right.
Hey, but she's a great feminist icon.
Yeah, look at that booty.
Well, you know what? My anaconda don't. All right, forget it. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, who knows what song I'll burst into next. We got some rapid fire news as well. The Fugle question of the week, mailbag, FUs of the week, your calls, and so much more with our live studio audience here as we get into more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere, guys. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live with the 571st episode of our show for this October the 12th, 2014, already in progress. We've had such a busy show so far tonight. We're joined by our dear old friend of Orange Lounge Radio. I'm not actually calling you old, Princess Irene, but, the show is pretty old. But from the Multi-Tap podcast now. And when do you guys put out new episodes? Like, when do you tape your shows and when do they go out?
I'm going to give that to Piper.
Ryan, Piper's here. Piper's here from the same show, so fine.
Editor. We usually record Sundays. We're never live, though. That's not interactive. So mm-hmm. I think we try to put out Mondays.
All right, cool. A lot of shows do Sundays. So, yeah I know a lot of people. Yeah. There's a lot of people that I know that do their shows that are like, we'd listen to OLR, but we're taping then. So I know how it goes. I know how it goes.
As long as you put out.
That's fine. That's why we have the podcast, so people can listen in all sorts of different ways. So
once
there you
a week
go.
So the marriage doesn't die.
And, of course, JV Mon from New York City, all the way to the other coast, joining us here as well. When's your show put out? Once a month? When do we do?
Every month or two. It's on iTunes, just Super Euro Power Hour.
All right. And so you're not going to tell us when the next episode's coming out? Just hurry up and wait?
I'm trying to get one out this week. Well, I'm trying to get one out this week because a friend of mine who's an indie Eurobeat producer lives in San Jose. So it's just a quick drive. And he's, for Super Eurobeat, he's known as Ken Blast. But if you're a My Little Pony fan and a Eurobeat fan, he goes by Eurobeat Brony. And like,
okay.
So if you type in like Eurobeat and the letter B, that's like the first thing you get on YouTube.
All right.
Hey, he gets like 2 million plus views on each video.
Nice.
So
can we get a
shout
out?
He's doing something well.
Yeah, that works. That works. So, hey, since we had such a busy beginning of the show, and if you didn't hear the first half, if you're just joining us now live on this Sunday evening, definitely check out the podcast at some point. We had a great interview with Bodie Lee from Lunar Ray Games talking about Time Spinner earlier on in the show. That was awesome. In fact, it was so busy, I forgot housekeeping and a very important note. And I mentioned this in a previous week, so just make sure you guys know, we will not be here next week. There will be no live OLR next week. I might try to throw together like a best of or something for the podcast, but I really can't promise that. Just depends on how much time I have during the week. So sadly, I know a lot of you guys rely on OLR to get through your Monday and so forth. I'm very sorry we won't be here. I will actually be in Las Vegas. I'm going to Final Fantasy Fan Fest this weekend, which is celebrating Final Fantasy 14, which, as you know, is the MMO I kind of got addicted to ever since I left World of Warcraft.
Are you cosplaying?
No, probably not, because I don't have time to throw something together. But you know, I
can loan you my Homestuck cosplay.
I kind of would. Why would I dress in Homestuck?
I'm sure you'd make a great Jane.
Final Fantasy. Here's the thing: I want to do Hildebrand, which if you play Final Fantasy 14, is a hilarious character. He's kind of like, he's all the like funny quests. But then I'm thinking like half the dudes will be cosplaying Hildebrand.
You'd be his dad.
Wait, at first I thought you were making an age joke, but then I was like, actually, Hildebrand's dad is in one of the quest line. He's even like twice the awesome. He doesn't wear pants either, so
no,
I
have to tell you,
walk around Vegas with no pants on. I'm sure
you just wear the black hot pants.
Yeah,
I have to tell you, though, the Hildebrand quests annoy me.
Well, why is that?
I don't think they're funny.
Really?
I stupid does not equate
they're
funny
stupid
to me.
Funny to me, like it's like Dumb and Dumber. Like it's stupid.
Yeah,
funny.
And I will never. I tried to sit through one of those and left the theater
you
when someone else paid.
Sequel's coming out. You want to go see it?
No.
Yes.
I feel bile right. rising up in my throat at the preview.
I love Loki. Jim Carrey. I will see anything Jim Carrey is in, and that's why I'm so mad that Kick-Ass 2 is still not on Netflix. I was forced to watch The Explorers, and I really wish I hadn't.
I was going to tell you, I've had this idea for a long time of doing Final Fantasy 14 cosplay, mm-hmm. but doing like low-level craft cosplay, as in just wearing like the stuff that, you know, because people do the real big elaborate ones, but you never have people just being the everyday people.
I really like the way the Gridania guards look. I think if I was going to cosplay something, I really like with their masks and their armor
so
and everything.
So you should
do that. Yeah, but
be an NPC.
Okay, can I throw it together in 4 days before I leave?
I was just trying to say, all green clothing and bad posture. Cactuar.
I want to see. There you go.
Just get a green Snuggie. And then sew it up in the back. You could do that. That wouldn't be too hard.
Oh my god, laziest cosplay ever.
Cactar?
Well, you
Cactar
know,
wouldn't be that bad.
You know, I'm not going alone. I'm going with Shane. What do you think you convince him to cosplay as?
A chocobo. put a feather on his head. And
if he's out there listening, he's going to be like,
just carry a
no.
lantern around. You could be a lazy Tonberry.
Lazy Tonberry. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Love
that
it.
Actually, though, you know what? You know what? You know what? I could probably do a Tonberry head in a night.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know.
We'll talk about it.
We'll see what kind of mood I'm in.
Unfortunately, if you want to get into the, you know, the wherever you're going, you kind of have to walk back and forth very slowly. It's going to take you a while to get to where you're going.
I'll be Tonberry on Red Bull. All right. Anyhow, so we will be not here next week, but what a great time for you to sample other indie podcasts, because there's lots of hardworking indie podcasters out there creating great content. So our friends at Multitap, this is your week.
You could listen to us.
That's right. Listen to you guys. There you go. Are you going to get him through 3 hours? How long is your show?
Depending. We've done two-parters, so those end up close to four hours.
Listen to two episodes.
And we release them in part the first and part the second. They're awesome. Right next to each other.
Sounds like a plan. So, yeah. So we won't be here next week, but I will be back with all the details from Final Fantasy Fan Fest. I'll try and get an interview. If I can get my butt up there and interview the developers, that would be fantastic. We'll see what happens. So there you go. That is why we will not be here next week. But we are here this week, so we're trying to continue putting on a kick-butt show for you guys. So let's get to it. Some rapid-fire news. Loki.
So I just don't understand Nintendo sometimes, or actually most of the times. But apparently, and I'm thinking that this is a little bit sensationalized, but apparently the GameCube adapter that they're putting out for Super Smash Bros. On Wii U only works with Super Smash Bros. On Wii U. It will not work with existing Wii and Virtual Console games. Also, it's not going to, I guess, I don't know if it's going to allow you to use in place of like the classic controller or something. I guess that was the thought, but now it's not. It's only going to be used for Smash Brothers. But I think it's only going to be used for Smash Brothers right now. I think later on, they could come out with things that support it, but I don't think they're going to release it only for Smash Bros. And say, well, that's it. That's the last thing we're going to use it on. I just can't see that. Maybe later on in a system update, it'll come out with support for it, but yeah, right now it's not. I really think it should have been out of the gate, because I mean, it seems like you're really limiting your audience.
Thing I've ever heard of. Like, this is proprietary to our system, and then only proprietary to this game.
I don't know.
That'd be a waste, I think, of.
And you would think it would not be that difficult because they had GameCube support for Virtual Console before, and all it's doing now is it's running through a stupid adapter that's converting to USB. How fucking hard can that be to get that to work, to shoehorn that in? I can't imagine it'd be that hard. Just fucking map it to classic controller stuff.
I still feel like at some point we're inevitably going to get Virtual Console GameCube games, and this would be a very logical thing to use with it.
It's just like they're so backwards. So it's just like, you know, hey, it's not like a surprise that we're going to release this. You knew this for quite a long time. You think you could have put one developer on, I don't know, shoehorning this into Virtual Console or for use with other games? I wouldn't have thought that would have been too difficult for you, but apparently it is. So
since clearly I'm never going to get a new F-Zero because they're going to tease me by putting like Mute City and Mario Kart or whatever the fuck they're doing, I can at least get F-Zero GX on Virtual Console. Would be nice.
Yeah. And with that, of course, the rumored date of November 21st ended up being the release date for Super Smash Bros. In North America. So Europe is getting it December 5th. And of course, the amiibo characters will be coming out around
still,
that time.
Like, what do they do? We know they're coming, but why should I buy them? Besides,
they're literally AI characters that you can level up, and that's it. It's fucking useless. I mean, cool. You know what? I have no qualms against getting some of those because they look cool and put them on your shelf and stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as functionality goes, it's fucking stupid.
Okay, so in other words, amiibo is really more there for the figure collecting.
Yeah, it's figure collecting, but apparently later on you're going to be able to use it with Mario Kart and shit like that. You know what it's for? It's just because they needed some shit to sell this stuff right now. And then later on when the new 3DS comes out with the fucking near-field communication shit, then it's going to drop. Boom! New fucking Pokemon. Boom! Oh, look, amiibo characters for every fucking Pokemon. And you know you're going to be buying every single one of those for $13 each. Cha-ching. We're printing money again. That's where they're going to make their money. Fuck it. Who cares if the Wii U sucks? You know what? We're making tons of money off these fucking toys. That is where they're going to go. Because it works for Activision and their goddamn Skylanders franchise.
All right. Calm down. We haven't calmed down until that press release comes out.
It's going to happen. Same with Nintendo DS and 3DS titles on the Wii U.
You know, if they can put Pikachu's face on it, they'll do it. You know,
yeah, Pikachu already. Pikachu's going to be one of those characters.
I know.
All right. Anyways, to go along with that, there's a little bit of speculation when Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker is coming out, and I remember saying that I don't fucking care when it comes out, but if you do care, it's coming out December 5th.
I care.
And it's going to be priced for $40, which, you know what? That's
bitch.
$20 too expensive, so just wait for the bargain.
But Loki, Toadette's in it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I guess that totally justifies a $40 price point then.
Now I don't care.
I
was totally teasing. I hate Toadette. I really do.
I think it's whatever.
It's a totally irrational hatred. I can't explain.
She's like one of those useless friend characters from Sonic.
Exactly. Toadette reminds me of one of Sonic's shitty friends. Like, she's in the wrong franchise. And I'm sorry if you're a Toadette fan, but I think, like, Double Dash just really left a bad taste
Toadette
in the beginning.
It's all part of the same thing that they're doing with, like, even like Smash.
Hold on, because Piper. So it looks like I hurt Piper's feelings.
Specifically, if you're a Toadette fan, who the fuck are you?
You need to look at your life, look at your choices.
Hold on. Don't scare the listeners away. We're just, you know, hey, write us an email, tell us why we're wrong. All right.
Okay, well, I'm just saying
address that to participate at orangelaunchradio.com. Attention, Piper.
It's a character they created to have more female characters so that people can play as it. So you know, it's not alienating, you know, other audiences.
Can we get, like, Birdo? Because Birdo's fucking awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry. Birdo may be considered transgender or something like that, fuck that shit, because we're Nintendo.
Transgender needs representation as well.
That is true.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I think Captain Rainbow should be in the fucking Smash Brothers, but, you know, where the fuck is that? You know, we can't even get Captain Rainbow in there because that was fucking awesome. You know, I wish.
And Loki, I know you want Tingle in Smash Brothers. I know. I guess he's an assist.
You know what? I think that would be funny. You know, that'd be kind of cool. Like, why not? You know, let's do that.
Tingle as a boss character.
I'd be down with that. Anyways. So, yes, so there's that. And then what else? Let's see. Oh, and, you know, in Japan, it's already sold 2.8 million units. So that's pretty awesome. So cool. And then the, Lionhead. Thank God that Peter Molyneux's not hyping this shit up, but, you know. If you care, Fable Legends is having their beta pretty soon, so you can actually register for that if you want to check out their game. And it's at fablelegends.com/beta-signup, and go ahead and check it out. I guess the beta is supposed to start October 16th, so cool. Honestly, though, I've been so burnt out with Fable games, I just can't. So, oh well.
You can't even.
I can't even. I just don't care anymore.
Just getting Loki to say that on the show just made my night. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about Factor 5. And Factor 5, apparently some news came out of what they were working on before they, you know, weren't working on it anymore. Here's the thing. It was actually a Rogue Squadron trilogy remake for the Wii. That was the game that, and interesting enough, it was starting on the Xbox, but Factor 5, like a lot of developers at the time, were like, oh, hey, the Wii does motion control, and this is crazy new thing everybody's into. So, yeah, that is what they did. But unfortunately, financial hardship, legal snafus, budgetary restrictions all ended up killing the game. So it should be noted that the former president of Factor 5, Julian Egbrecht, loves the Wii U, but its unpredictable trajectory and licensing troubles in general make a Star Wars Wii U game unlikely. You know what else was noted about this game? Lightsaber battles used one-to-one motion controls. Wasn't that what everybody wanted on the Wii?
Yeah, and you didn't get anything like that until Wii Sports Resort came out.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember,
like,
they had the other... Yeah. They had a lightsaber battle game, and it was kind of crap.
If you are playing Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition, this would be the console version of Diablo 3. There was a patch this week that brought the game in line with the recent 2.1 patch on PC. However, it's missing seasons. The big season, the thing I was talking about at the beginning of the show, I reached 70 on my seasonal hardcore character on PC. I won't be able to do that on console because they don't have seasons on console. And they haven't really said why, but we were talking a little bit about this on Horde House, and Extver said that it's probably because of the fact that people have already hacked Diablo 3 on console because it's not required to be online like the PC one is. So therefore, people would cheat the shit out of the system, which unfortunately does make sense. And I kind of wish, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I kind of wish you could, like, opt in to have Diablo 3 always online, like, while you're playing the season mode, maybe, And then like an opt-in thing.
Why
like,
can't season mode be online?
Yeah, or something like that. Like I'm kind of surprised.
They have that like, you know, with like Call of Duty, which pisses me off sometimes. They've got certain game modes, even though you're playing them single player or whatever, they have to be online. Or like if you want to play two player, it's got to be played over online. You can't play it through LAN for some reason because of rankings and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't see why they couldn't do this.
Yeah, I wish they could. I wish they could figure a way out because you know, even though seasons are, it's just seasons. It did make me go revisit the game and try a new character and do something I never did before. So it would be fun to do on PS4 as well. Anyway, in celebration of this patch, it should be noted that through the 17th, the console versions are getting some different little buffs, temporary buffs. If you're playing on the PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360, well, you got screwed out of the patch because they said that they're not going to be patching for the older systems. But you will get a 100% experience boost. Ooh, for the whole week. On the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the Treasure Goblin spawn rate will be doubled. So you get double trouble when it comes to treasure goblins for the week in celebration of this patch in Diablo 3. Hey, music game fans, if you're still following that whole community, Pump It Up 2015. That's going to be a thing that's happening. It's Anne DeMiro released a teaser trailer for this game this week where Pump It Up 2015 is going to be a thing. However, the teaser trailer doesn't really show any features of the game, but it does show some of the artists joining the roster, and it is slated for November 2014. So
God, I wish Anne DeMiro was putting out DDR games.
Yeah, right? But I'm sure Jonas will be back in a future week on the show. In fact, I see him in chat right now. What's up? And he can fill us in on all the new features, which maybe we'll know more about Pump It Up, because I know he's still playing that. So let's see. Dark Sakura.
Well, in other news, how about Little Big Planet 3 stuff? It's getting a new voice actor added to the roster as the main baddie for that. You get Hugh Laurie. How's that sound?
Yes.
And then
only if he says at some point, like, let's say my character like falls down a pit or gets hit or something, he says it's not lupus. It's the only way I'm going to accept Hugh Laurie in the game.
Well, in other news, we have stuff about Hatsune Miku this year. Not only Nomura Tetsuya made a version of her during a New York Art exhibition, they can actually see running through October 19th. She was also on David Letterman.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I saw it, and it was super awkward. I'm sorry. Like, it was so weird. Javimon, are you a Hatsune Miku person? Or
he's the one that gave me my wall scroll.
I'm indifferent. I'm not a hater, but I'm not like, oh my god.
Yeah, right. I don't hate Hatsune Miku, and actually the game is really fun. So, like, I want to make that clear. It's just the whole, like, seeing it on David Letterman, I was just like, this is so weird. Like, sorry, guys. I know some of you were into it, but I was just like, this is, like, the weird... Like, the hologram just looked like a projection to me. Like, it didn't look
right. Well, did you see the gorilla stuff? It looks the same way.
Yeah, the gorilla stuff I have seen before, and that looked, but it didn't look like that on Letterman. And granted, it probably had to be condensed, because,
I'm sure it looks better in person than over the TV.
It probably does.
I've got... when I was borrowing those Hatsune Miku games, instead of one of the games, I actually got a concert DVD instead. So it looked really good on the stage. I'm sure it'd be just fine.
Some comments in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, I'm not sure Dave got it, TBH. And ActDev says, yeah, it was awkward. Sal says, the audio was bad on Letterman. And Fifth Dream says, yeah, and the stage composition. I bet that stage, because, you know, everything looks bigger on TV. But in reality, Letterman's studio is probably probably not much bigger than the studio we do OLR
in. It's smaller than it looks like on TV.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Price is Right. Price is Right is like a small movie theater. It's tiny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, and in other news, we have word from Obama. He urging the FCC to ban fast lanes and saying that he is unequivocally committed to net neutrality. So thanks, Obama.
We can say unironically, thanks, Obama.
I will not ever do the ironic thanks, Obama, but in this case, I'm doing it completely unironically. Just because I think that that's a meme that needs to die.
I like some of the GIF files that people produce of that, though. Like, from the really bad infomercials of, like, the woman that, like, drops all the Tupperware that falls on her and it just comes up and says, thanks, Obama.
I'll tell you why it needs to die is because keep in mind how many people I know in Alabama.
Yeah,
I know. And my family. And they still legitimately say that. to everything that they don't like in government.
I know some people take it one step too far, but if you put the funny spin on it, I think it's great.
When you see it every day and people are not being ironic about it, it tends to get a little old.
You need to learn about the mute feature on Facebook.
You know what? You need to have a sit in a... I bet... No, never mind. No one needs to sit in a room with my mom when she gets political.
That's a fate you don't wish on anyone, right? All right.
I don't even wish it on me.
Well, you know what? We're going to sit in a virtual room with our listeners as we travel to our Facebook and Google Plus page and ask the Fugle question of the week. Every week we ask a question of our Facebook and our Google Plus communities. And of course, when you slam those words together, you get Fugle. I think that was Piper. That was you that asked earlier. What's a Fugle? What the hell is that? All right. There it is. All right. Here it is. So tonight, in honor of our guest, because I always like to do questions when I can that are kind of based around the guest, right? Last week we had pinball, which, by the way, follow up to that, if you didn't see, the Addams Family pinball Kickstarter was a success. So that is going to happen.
Hooray.
I like to think we helped a little bit with that. But no, in all seriousness, they did make it. So we are going to get the Addams Family table. Anyway, but that was last week. This week, we had Bodhi, of course, from Lunar Ray Games earlier in the show. So we wanted to ask, what is your favorite new school, old school game? Because, you know, Time Spinner is a new school game, but it definitely draws influences from Star Ocean, Symphony of the Night, Mega Man X. So what is your favorite new game that has the feel of an old classic, and why? And I'll let you guys here in the studio answer this too. But first, let's go to the listeners. So over on Facebook, one of my favorite nicknames, William Murderface, says... You like that, Princess Irene? William Murderface? All right.
Such a good show, too.
It is. William Murderface says, I would have to say the first Witcher. It kind of feels like you're playing an old Neverwinter game with some elements of Diablo, a great story, and, for the first time, somewhat innovative combat system. You know, I'm not familiar with the Witcher series, but I was really impressed with what I saw of Witcher 3 at E3, specifically the art direction and the way the story was being told. I was like, this is going to fill in a big gap for some, like, Skyrim and... Oblivion, what the hell? Elder Scrolls. Why couldn't I think of that? For Elder Scrolls fans, I feel like that's going to fill in a gap. Anyway, Hitstun says, this is my favorite trend in video games. I love developers that revisit 90s gameplay styles with the design sensibilities we've learned in the past two decades. I still want to play Freedom Planet, a new 2D mascot platformer on PC that got its start as a Sonic the Hedgehog fan game, and it shows. Elliot B. says, I loved Anodyne. I hope I said that right. Anodyne, which is a super creepy tribute to A Link to the Past. It's all framed in a Game Boy style square format. Bonus answer, Super Time Force is great too. SSG100 Matt says, I played the hell out of Shadow Complex when it came out a while ago. The game was heavily inspired by Super Metroid, and it ultimately went on to inspire other similar styled games, i.e. the Swapper. And Jonas replied and said, Rogue Legacy, that old school feeling of Metroidvania with randomized dungeons, unpredictable and challenging every time you enter the dungeon. Over on Google Plus, we had a few answers, and ActDef says, Shovel Knight is probably the best new old game. It has all the stuff that made all the NES games great, stuffed into a fantastic game. Dust and Elysian Tale comes close too. Tom W. also said Rogue Legacy, with the old feel of PS1 and GBA Castlevania games with a roguelike twist to modern conventions. Redertainment says, does it count if Forza Horizon 2 reminds me a lot of Burnout Paradise? Well, I don't know if Burnout's classic yet, but I guess it's getting there, so close enough. And let's see, lastly, Josh Y. replies on Google and says, I find I'm very impressed by the Terry Cavana games. He stole my answer. VVVVVV and Super Hexagon. Of the former, my proudest moment was completing Veni Vindi Vici after literally days of trying. That was a very hard board in VVVV, and that would I loved VVVVV. That game was amazing. What about you guys? Your favorite new old game? Anybody? Don't all jump at once. Loki.
Cave Story.
Okay, good. Yeah, Cave Story. And they kind of like redid Cave Story several times.
Yeah,
even.
It was pretty good.
It's kind of meta there a little bit. Piper, you have an answer over there?
I had two. One that's kind of upcoming. I loved Guacamelee recently, which is
that was great.
Brilliant. I found myself just living Metroid through a lucha.
Yeah.
Which was all I wanted in life.
And the music.
Now I can die happy.
The music is so fucking good in that game.
It is. And there's like, if you're looking closely, there's nothing but hundreds and hundreds of like just love notes to to games in the past.
Yeah, all the memes and shit too. Like when you're in the towns, like there's like Grumpy Cat and shit show up, and it's great.
It's incredible. Yeah. And then I love Myst clones for recent. They're all live. They're not panel based anymore. But Dear Esther was great, and I'm looking forward to The Witness by Jonathan Blow. It'll be similar. They're kind of puzzle based like that, or I guess they're kind of slower paced portals without the, you know, the physics based puzzle in it.
Did you play Gone Home at all? Random question.
I have not. That's next on my list because people said it was good.
Yeah, it was very good. Very good. Princess Irene? I don't know if you have one.
Time Spinner.
Good answer. Good answer.
Pretty much, yeah.
Hold on. Are you on the payroll of that guy's company?
I should be. Right. No.
We got to make sure we're ethical or, you know, we might get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, all right. Right.
Javon?
Super Time Force.
Somebody mentioned that in a Facebook comment, too. What do you like about it?
It's kind of like Contra-ish, because it's kind of just running and gunning, but then you can, like, if you fuck up, you can just rewind and redo the level. It's the humor, and it's just very amusing. Like, you'll just show up into a new time zone, and it's like, time, your birthday, place, your mom.
Jamie, anything that comes to mind for you?
I'll say To the Moon.
Okay.
That one is probably, and I like it because it's pure story. It's just pure story with a little bit of puzzle in it, and the puzzles aren't terrible. I honestly could do without the puzzle parts, just because I love going through the whole story of it, and I sadly had to put it aside for a lot of work and a bunch of other stuff that's coming on. But as soon as we move, it's actually back up on the top of my list to finish.
Nice.
I have already had sob fests.
I was going to say, get the Kleenex.
During the first part of the, you know, even in the first, like, two sections of the game, I was like, that's so sad. The feels. And, of course, Hot to Full Boyfriend. It's a dating sim. Visual novel.
There you go.
That's old school, but pigeons.
I thought of an answer that nobody's mentioned yet, even though it's kind of cheating. The new DuckTales game.
That's totally cheating.
Which is kind of. But oh, here's the thing. The only thing that really bugged me about the new DuckTales game, you might remember way back in my review, was the freaking cutscenes. Did we ever get away or to like skip? I guess, I don't know. But
you press pause and you can hit skip movie.
Does it? Yeah. I still remember the first time I played through it, you like couldn't do it or something. It was annoyed the hell out of me. But anyway. All right. But the new DuckTales was still very, very, very well done. So I was happy with that. All right. Let us get back into some news. Thanks, you guys, for the answers. And again, if you want to answer in a future week, facebook.com/orangeloungeradio or google.com/plusorangeloungeradio. Let's get back into some news, and then we'll get to your calls and the mailbag and all that good stuff. So, Loki, what do you got for us?
Oh, my eyes and how they roll. You may remember back when we talked a little bit about Lindsay Lohan suing Rockstar Games and Take-Two Interactive because
she's out of money.
Well, yeah, definitely because she's out of money, because she, you know, claimed that her likeness was used in the game for a character, Lacey Jones, which is like some sort of, you know, actress that, you know, was drinking and doing all sorts of promiscuous stuff and that kind of thing. Well, now she's amended her lawsuit to change the claim. The claim now is not that she's, you know, that character, but in fact, this bikini-clad blonde woman that is on the game disc and promotional art and stuff like that, there's no fucking way that Lindsay Lohan is this person. This person looks nothing like her at all.
I took serious issue with this because I thought I had heard something about them modeling her after Kate Upton.
Yeah, there is actually a photograph of I think it was Kate Upton that it's almost in the same pose where they slightly changed some stuff and they kind of based it off of that.
Right.
So there's no way that this is Lindsay Lohan. But you know what? She's trying to change her plea, you know, or her complaint, I guess, so that I guess they can do allow for a different type of lawsuit in New York or something like that. Fuck if I know. I don't. Obviously, she's not going to win this. No way in hell.
There is only one way to settle this. There's only one way this can probably be settled, and that is Judge Judy has to do it. Come on, America. Come on. We want to see this. Judge Judy has to sell this because you all want to see Judge Judy just rip into Lindsay Lohan.
Does she still work?
With Judge Judy?
Yeah, I thought she was.
Oh, God. She's still like the number one syndicated show on
not
TV.
Retired
she's
at
bigger
all,
than Oprah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Goodness. So, well,
yeah, I know, right? Who knew?
Right. Fuck me, right?
I'm going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Explicit, or Jonas, says Lilo fucking sues everything, and she loses because of how bad her points are. She sued Pitbull. Pitbull. What's a pitbull? Pitbull for using her. Now Pitbull's going to sue me because I'm a dumbass. She sued Pitbull for using her name.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
That
thank
wasn't
you.
Long ago either.
Thank you for the Lilo update. I didn't realize that Jonas was the go-to guy for my Lilo news.
I didn't realize Lilo was like a thing.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah, like J. Yeah, J Lo and.
There's no way. I mean, seriously, is this going to go
you
into?
You just call me Arro.
Like all sure. The judge has to do is look at the picture, look at her, look at the picture, look at her, and go. Are you fucking kidding? Yeah. Out. I mean, just like seriously, there's in her prime. No, never. Not even in her prime would she look like this person. I mean, I've seen the Playboy photos. There is no fucking way that she looks like this person.
I feel like you're suddenly our expert here in studio. Right. Well, I've seen the photos.
There is literally no way that she looks like this person, and definitely not now. Fuck, no, not now. She just... And what is,
gonna,
and what
is
it, Lindsay? Are you this
talk?
Person in the game, or are you this person? Because you know what? I'm starting to think that, you know, you're based off of maybe a different character in the game, you know?
She certainly is based off of a character. You know what? Lindsay, if you're listening to us, we have some advice for you. Stop.
Stop listening to us?
No. Yeah, stop. No. Just everything else that you think is a good idea, stop.
She would have had a better chance of arguing that she was based off of the character Trevor Phillips in Grand Theft Auto 5 versus, you know, this bikini model.
She's up on meth or whatever.
Now suddenly I have this image of Lindsay Lohan lying in her bed with headphones on listening to OLR and just a single tear falling down her face.
The people in Sacramento.
No, she would file a lawsuit against us for using
for
her
the record,
name.
Lindsay, I've never seen Mean Girls.
Okay.
I know. I will see it at some point.
Gasp.
But I still like that I can use that right now.
Oh my god.
Hey, she was
oh my god, and you say that on the week of the 10-year anniversary. Like, why don't you just, you know, pull down your pants and poop on it?
Because that means that after I'm done playing Hot to Full Boyfriend on Tuesday, someone has to bring the movie over.
She was hot. Pre-drugs, I mean, it's just after the drug thing, it just kind of went downhill. But, like, before that, she had it going on. It was just...
That should be the new FBI warning that shows up on video games. Like, warning. Winners don't do drugs.
Right. Warning. Lindsay Lohan was hot before drugs.
But Lindsay Lohan did.
I can't not
happened.
Think
wow.
of... I listen to Kevin Smith podcast.
Oh, shots
they have
fired.
A little hole. And they have a little jingle so that they don't get sued. It's just the beginning of Desperado. But they had somebody write in that said, Lindsay Lohan, why don't you come to your senses? And then it just ends. Every time I hear her name, I think that just goes straight through my head.
Rama in chat says, Mean Girls was better when it was called Heathers. Hey, look, I love Heathers too, but
Heathers
they are different.
Is great.
They're very different. Heathers was a very dark comedy. Mean Girls is like Tina Fey, which is like her own brand of comedy because she's so great. You know, 30 Rock, all that. Like, just if Tina Fey touches it, I'll probably see it.
But Heathers was awesome.
Explicit says, same, haven't seen the Mean Girls either. Okay, do I have to have like a movie night here at Studio OLR? Because I think
tonight.
I do. Right now,
like
some sort of Mean
Girl
shadow cast.
All right.
Okay, I work.
Good night, everybody.
Shift.
Good night, everybody. Because this is so not fetch right now. This is so not.
You don't get to use fetch
okay,
anymore.
So she claims because she's worn a bikini that happens to be red and a hat that she is this person that's in the picture because this person has a hat on and in a different picture has a red bikini.
That's a different girl. The other one was holding an iPhone or an apple.
All right. The multi-tap podcast will be back during the holiday season to do their rendition of Jingle Bell Rock. So everybody look forward to that, just so you guys know. So, okay. I thought you saw Mean Girls. No, you don't get a jingle. Oh, yeah, you're a liar. All right. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Square Enix and their own lawsuit, although they are actually the ones suing SNK Playmore. And this is because of copyright infringement accusations. This is actually... Okay, so here's the thing. SNK sued Square Enix in May, claiming that they used copyrighted SNK characters without permission in High School Girl. This is a manga series. So SNK said that characters from the King of Fighters and Samurai Showdown were used over 100 times, and there was no permission for this. So police collected evidence in August from Square Enix's offices. What the hell kind of investigation does that look like? We're here to investigate high school girls?
Show us your assets.
All right. So anyway, Square Enix has been cooperating with the law. Well, now they are seeking an authoritative opinion from the Osaka District Court to determine that it has not infringed an SNK copyright, and it will prove the point through civil procedures. So, sorry, not like a lawsuit in the sense that, you know, again, this will end up in Judge Judy. But basically, telling the judge to say, no, you shut up. No, you shut up. No, you shut up.
It's and then Judge Judy's like, y'all happening? Shut the fuck up.
That's right. Why don't both you both shut up? You're both dumb.
Which characters did they rip off of, allegedly?
I don't know.
They didn't rip off any character, or what was it? Well, I remember the SNK one originally is because they were playing Neo Geo in the comics.
What? That's dumb.
And I guess because they had, you know, the Neo Geo stuff in there, and I guess they were playing King of Fighters, that they referred to the characters in the comic.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's silly.
Shouldn't they be happy for free advertising? No.
Are they even, like, really selling anything, though?
That so might
like,
be why they need money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Dark Tetsuya in chat says, now there's an episode of Law & Order I'd like to see. Oh, that's what I need on my sound effects board. Bong, bong. All right.
Okay. Sorry, to go back once again to, you know, the Lindsay Lohan thing.
Come
I'm sorry.
On!
No, it's hilarious, though, because in their, one of their pieces of evidence. If you type in Lindsay Lohan GTA 5, it pulls up the picture of that woman. The second picture that's in there is of the actual picture that they based that picture off of. And they also think that, you know, they're all, well, see, this character is Lacey Jonas or whatever in the thing. That character that's a bikini model is not that Lacey Jonas character from the game. It's a completely separate person that doesn't even exist. It's just an NPC character that they used. It's like in Grand Theft Auto 4. They have the prostitute on there. That was an NPC character that's not really in
just
the game.
Just somebody random you can sleep with and then shoot.
Yes.
A mascot.
Oh, I see. All right. All right. Are you done?
I'm done. I just right. thought it was funny. Like, they've shot holes in their own argument through this evidence that they had.
They're right. Like, we don't care. She's paying us.
Amanda Bynes hasn't been in any video games, mm-hmm. has she? Did they make a video game out of EZA? All right. Moving on. All right. Darsagra.
Well, this is actually super cool. There's a journalism school that's actually using a grant to teach journalist game design. By cool, it's interesting. Basically, they're using it's American University School of Communication is using a $250,000 grant from the Knight Foundation for programs to train journalists in game design. So it's called Journalism Leadership Transformation. With 6 positions, 3 working for journalists and 3 for journalism students. So they enroll in the game design master's degree program, work in the game lab, and then help organize 2 different summits in Washington, D.C. So basically, it's... I'm not so sure that it's actually journalism, but... See, that's where it kind of gets me. It's cool that there's going to be a degree program set up for that, but very, I think, odd that it's going to be done through a journalism school. Now, if they had one on how to not report on video games like your Kotaku, then sign me up. I mean, oh, I'm sorry, we already know how. You know, I don't know, it's kind of cool and not so cool.
Interesting. Do you think that, I mean... There's obviously, without going too far down this rabbit hole, I just kind of want to step over it and peek in. But do you think, I mean, there's a lot of talk about ethics and game journalism out there. Obviously, we know that's a very big issue right now. So, I mean, is there maybe a need for somebody to come in and set, like, these standards? Because it seems like right now, all these websites set their own standards. There's nothing like the AP rulebook.
Well, and Reuters won't even consider any... video game journalistic source as a true source because they don't meet the standards for journalistic integrity.
Well, now, I cannot imagine why Reuters would not give the video game community the time of day anyway. But that's
well, no, they said that they don't include it in the list of associated feeds that they use mm-hmm. because they don't meet the standards. They said if any single one of them fit the standards for journalistic integrity, they'd be happily included.
Right. Like the Wikipedia of journalists.
Yeah, except Wikipedia typically has better information.
Sial in chat has a good suggestion here. How not to be sensationalistic clickbait 101. 29 reasons why you're a crappy journalist. Click here to learn more.
Only 29.
With GIFs. All right, anyway. All right, let's move on with some more news. Loki.
All right. So this is kind of cool. I'm actually, you know, interested in purchasing this way. But Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, they're doing this kind of like what they did with Destiny a little bit, but slightly different. They're having where you buy the PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 version of the game, and you get the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One version for free. And this is if you purchase the game digitally between, I guess, now and March 31st of next year. And if you purchase that, you will not only get, you know, the current Gen 1, but the last Gen 1 as well. And I guess on PlayStation 3, the way it's going to work is it's actually cross-buy, so you can, you know, purchase it that way and be able to play it on both systems. And I think the Xbox 360 one is the same thing, so except they don't have cross-buy. You just get codes for both, which is awesome. I'm, you know, looking forward to that because, you know, eventually I want to get PlayStation 4. With the people I play Call of Duty with, they all have PlayStation 3s, so that's awesome. I'm going to pick it up on PS3, and then when I get PS4, I'll play it on PS4.
That's really cool to see more and more publishers kind of doing this, especially with the sun is starting to set on the PS3 and Xbox 360. I mean, especially like next year, I really think next year you might get like one game, one big game, and that's really going to be it. Like the sun is starting to set on those systems, so, you know. It's nice that they have these upgrades for the people who aren't ready yet.
And I mean, even like when we went back to, you know, talking to Minecraft, they didn't have to give you the Vita version for free if you had the PlayStation 3 version.
Right.
But it was cool that they did that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like how, you know, that seems to be kind of the norm with some of these digital games, you know, just like the, you know, stuff that's released specifically on the PlayStation Network, but now, or even Xbox Live Arcade. But now they've got it where, actually, I don't think they do much cross-buy stuff on Xbox Live. But at least on PlayStation Network, though, now they're doing it with, you know, actual disc release games and stuff like that, where you can get cross-buy stuff. It would have been awesome if they did it with, like, Forza Horizon 2. I would have purchased it on 360 digitally
Me
if
too.
I got the, you know, Xbox One version.
Me too, absolutely.
But...
Because I'll get an Xbox One at some point because I'm a consumer whore, but like it's probably just not going to happen. With all the conventions and shit this holiday, it's probably just not going to happen. So.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of conventions, I want to make sure we throw it out here at some point because somehow this completely missed our show roll tonight. Like, oops. But it was just announced a couple days ago, Sony's going to be having their own little expo show, the PlayStation Experience. I'm sorry, I don't have the story in front of me, so I don't remember what the name of it was. But it's going to be the first weekend of December in Las Vegas. We don't know a whole lot more about it yet. We just know it is going to cost money to go to. I think they were saying $90 for a two-day pass, something like that. It's BlizzCon, essentially, but it's Sony. Real quick, what do you guys kind of think about that? I don't know.
There'll be less to do. There'll be no cosplay and no bonus Murloc.
Than BlizzCon? I don't know. I mean, Sony could also just be like, here's your chance to play the Morpheus before anyone else. I could see Sony could do a pretty decent grab bag of stuff. You know, they might have like a little Big Planet costume that only the convention goers can get. There's similar things they can do that BlizzCon does. I don't know. It's just be interesting. I kind of wish we got more notice because I'm sitting here going, well, if I wasn't going to Vegas, like literally like 2 months before this, then maybe I'd do it back to back. I don't know. I still might. If I can make work kind of work, I kind of want, maybe. We'll see. I have to hear more about what's going to be there, you know. So anyway, sorry, not to deviate too much. Here's the story I really wanted to talk about, and that is about, you know, what's going on with Capcom and maybe some reasons why some of the games we want to be seeing out of Capcom are not happening. And this is in an interview with gaming publication Famitsu. Yoshinori Ono from Capcom said this, quote, "If a game doesn't sell over 2 million copies, then we'd have to put the brakes on any plans for a sequel. All that means is we weren't capable enough, and all we can do after that is reflect on the experience, take what we can learn from it, and try to apply those lessons on some other title." So in other words, if your AAA title at Capcom doesn't sell over 2 million copies, no sequel, which maybe this explains why suddenly we're not seeing a lot of the franchises we wish we were seeing out of Capcom. Thoughts on hearing this?
This feels like the, was it Crystal Dynamics recently that did the Tomb Raider, and they were ultra disappointed at, I think it was under 6 million sales. So they were talking about not making, which I think they're making a sequel to now, but they were talking about not doing it because they considered that a critical failure.
To be fair, I believe Square Enix had made the comment in that, because Crystal D was the developer and then Square Enix is the publisher. So, and I think the Square Enix guy made the comment, but then through all the Steam sales and all this other stuff, you know, Tomb Raider, you know, I think they said, they came out later and somebody there had said, it's in the black, it made money, to kind of dispel what had the damage that had been done by the other comments, you know. But then, yeah, now we see that Microsoft obviously chipped in a pretty hefty amount of money to make the sequel happen, because right. they're getting the exclusive window or whatever. So, yeah,
I think that Capcom doesn't really have room to be choosy right now, because how many fucking franchises do they have that they're actually putting out stuff for?
Well, here's my thought, too, is that in the film industry, sometimes you have direct-to-video sequels, and they're intentionally low-budget because, you know, that they're not maybe going to make as much money as the first one did. So I kind of question, like, I thought the Mega Man game that they were doing, Mega Man Universe or whatever at one point, was supposed to be like a DLC, or sorry, not DLC, but online only, marketplace only, a digital title that was supposed to be like kind of like a smaller thing. Maybe it got too big, I don't know. But I kind of go, well, that's like a direct-to-video sequel
well,
in a way.
Well, they had like, I remember seeing a chart from them at one time. It was like 8 core franchises that they had, and it was, you know, Lost Planet, Dead Rising, Dead or Alive, Street Fighter. Well, I think they actually listed Street Fighter 4, Monster Hunter, I guess, in Japan. I'm trying to think of what the other ones would be. Resident Evil. So I just, they don't have a lot of, I mean, they keep releasing sequels for these things, but they don't have a lot of really brand new franchises that they're kind of putting out there. I mean, when's the last time we've seen like a new franchise from them, aside from, I think Dead Rising was the last thing, or was that Lost Planet that came
Lost
out?
Lost Planet, I think, came out after.
That might have been after. Yeah. No, those are both 2006, because they were at the E3 demo thing, I think.
Weren't they demoing a free-to-play PlayStation 4 title? Wasn't that Capcom? Or is that just because it was a familiar face? I want to say there was something Deep Down. Wasn't that it?
Maybe. Oh, they had.
I thought so.
No, they had. What was it? They had an RPG that came out. The Dragon's Dogma, I think, was Capcom.
I think that was Capcom.
That was the last new IP that they had.
Dungeon Buster just brought up Dragon's Dogma in our chat room as well.
So, I mean, I don't know. I guess they could do that. I mean, but once again, I don't know if this is really going to affect a lot of things, since they don't put out a lot of new IPs. It's just kind of sequels and rehashes. I mean,
Deep Down is the free-to-play Capcom title, by the way. I guess
we just won't get DuckTales 2.
Well, or somebody gets the license, or like what WayForward did, where they did do DuckTales. So, all right. Anyhow, let's go to the mailbag. Every week you guys email us your thoughts to participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Soccer dives into the mailbag and hopefully doesn't get too messy and coded in, you know, all the things that the listeners send to us. But it seems like this week the mailbag was pretty empty, sad face.
Yes.
All right. Well, what
so
do we
I have all two of them.
Oh, there was only one earlier when I looked, so.
Okay. Well, one of them is, oh my God, how long is this? All right, whatever. Let's just dive in. Hey, OLR crew, AZHP here. I wrote in last week about my roommate's experiences with the educational game-making company Galaxies.
You missed this during the show last week, by the way, Dark Soccer, just so you know. This is going to be a follow-up email to something that you unfortunately missed because you had to leave early last week.
Yep. And how poorly the CEO runs the company. Rob expressed concern, rightfully, that my secondhand knowledge could be very well fabricated or inaccurate. I appreciate Rob's shrewdness and due diligence as a reporter and wanted to present some quotes from Glassdoor, a website which allows users to anonymously review their employers regarding the company KNO, which the CEO of Galaxies, Osman Rashid, was CEO of prior to founding Galaxies. The CEO is very intelligent, but too focused on maximizing productivity per employee. Unfortunately, buying Jamba Juice on Thursdays isn't enough to deal with the insane demands. The load on any one person is probably equivalent to 2 or 3 full-time jobs at a normal company. There's far too much work on everyone's plate. Mistakes happen. People get chewed out. The result is stress and loathing. Another quote. In a typical rush season, the CEO will request that all employees work 7 days a week. Many end up working 21 days straight, which is an enormous mental burden for anyone. And illegal. Employees get shredded by overly aggressive managers for mistakes that occur, which are inevitable when you're working 80-plus hours a week. I'm going to skip down to 2 more quotes. Kiss the time with your family, wife, and kids goodbye. Kind of rough when you are running at 110% 365 days a year, and they pay you below the market rate. All right. And then this one's a pretty big quote here. Some employees are not even informed during the hiring process about the work environment they might be facing. Employees are forced to cancel their vacation plans for the bad planning of the management, while the management and people related to the management go on vacation anytime. Married employees could go to the brink or into divorce when working at this company. If you have a family, don't even bother applying at this company. Some managers are very bad. They harass on the phone thinking they don't leave any trail behind for a lawsuit. They advertise on their career section, take time off as needed, but they will not let you take the time off even when you really need it. So there's pretty good evidence that this guy who started an educational game company because he was frustrated that his kids didn't have any good educational games to play, does not understand how to run a company or keep people happy in the slightest, and hasn't learned since his previous company. Then again, he's a millionaire and sold his last company to Intel. So as long as there are suckers who will work for him, he'll still get his. However, I find it pretty hard to believe that the end product of Galaxies will be more than a middling educational tool with the way the team seems to be led. Sorry for the long email, but as someone who has worked in the game industry previously and values work/life balance, I wanted to step in and shed some light on what actually goes on behind happy press releases issued by the New York Science Foundation promising rainbows, puppies, and scientific education to children who play this game. Plus, I wanted to give Rob more evidence to corroborate the facts that I in the email I sent last week. Yours truly, AZHP.
And just to be clear, it's not necessarily that I don't believe you, but I sort of have to, you know, so that we, like, you know, don't get sued. It's the same reason why on TV they never say, oh, yeah, the murderer did this. They say, allegedly the alleged murderer did this. So, you know, I that's why I have to take everything with a grain of salt. I will just say this. Very interesting third-party evidence. You make a very strong case. You would do very well on Judge Judy.
I posted the link to the no... Mm-hmm. reviews in chat.
You bring up a very tough issue, and that is even the games that are bad, we know there's a lot of I have not played this game. We only have the, as you said, the Rainbows and Puppies press release really to go off of that took us down the memory lane of educational games. I can't judge the game until it comes out, whatever. But I'm just saying, out there are both good games and bad games. And even for the bad games, we hear about that sometimes there are just, you know, horrible conditions for employees to go through to make these games. And it's like, oh my God, there needs to be some we need ethics there too. We need ethics in game development. It's just like, you know, your game can wait 2 more months so that people can have an effing break once in a while, you know? It's just ridiculous. I just think this is why some games turn out bad. They're rushed and then these people don't get vacation and then it affects the final product, you know? But anyway, I could have a whole nother tangent dedicated to that, but I'll control myself.
Well, last email. Dear OLR, I freaking love Jonas and Diego. They are adorable as fuck, and I love hearing them talk about their experiences with the Smash community. Please bring them back so I can continue to squeak all the way from the land of video game happiness, Columbus, Ohio. Love, Osfer. P.S. I'd love to exchange friend codes with you guys. Shoot me a message on Facebook.
How much do they pay Osfer to send that email? No, I'm kidding. No, they are a lot of fun, and they'll be back. Again, I know. So,
just to define this for you, your guys' definition of an empty mailbag is like 1 to 2 emails more than MultiTap's mailbag.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. Keep in mind, my friend, this is episode number 571 of Orange Lounge Radio, and
we're going to get stepping.
Yeah, I was say Irene was here for episode 1. She was here for episode 1, so she can tell you It took a long time before those emails started to come
we're
in.
We're making 500 of these this weekend. No vacation, no time off, nothing for you.
I remember for the first few episodes, for actually a long while, like even the amount of listeners. I mean, to be fair, podcasting was still kind of a new thing.
It wasn't. When OLR first started, podcasting didn't exist, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you're kind of a trailblazer in that sense. But they weren't getting very many listeners, period. I mean,
we had 12 listeners.
Say about a dozen listeners. So I think
that was through DDR Freak advertising like mad, and me pimping it on Under Sedation Live, which is the other show I did at the time, you know, and we got 12, and we were like double digits for an episode. You know, we were so fucking excited. And you know, now, you know, thanks to podcasting and iTunes and getting on that wave, you know, we were fortunate enough to get a few more. I think consistency, very important. You know, if you're there for the listeners, you know, they'll start to incorporate you into their daily routine and so forth. Sorry, Irene.
It takes time to build a listener base and to, you know, get your groove. So
just trying to encourage your guys' mailbag.
What's that?
Is it trying to encourage you through your mailbag woes?
No, we still, even when we only get two emails, we appreciate them very much. So awesome, awesome.
Quality.
Well, if you want to send an email, maybe next week we'll get a compliment for our friends from Multitap Podcast, or maybe for
maybe Jade next Mon, week we will, but we everybody. Won't be here to read them.
Oh, that's right. We won't be here next week to read them. Well, maybe it'll pile up and we'll have four emails and we'll be back in 2 weeks. I know.
And then Rob won't have to threaten Kardashian music.
That's right. You know what? Piper, did you know that one week on the show I said if we don't get four emails, I'm playing music from Kim Kardashian Hollywood during
and
the show.
And we did get four emails and Rob played it anyway.
And it was glorious.
I did, because the chatters were like, you're not going to do it. You're not going to. I dare you to do it. I dare. So I was like, don't test me. Here we go. And you know what they said? They said, I was expecting it to be a lot worse. The music's actually not bad in that game.
It was bad.
All right.
Hey, pump it up, people. Not pump it up. The other game that's not DDR.
In the groove?
DDR?
In the groove. Yeah.
It was better.
You should do Kardashian music in your game.
In the groove, Kim Kardashian edition.
All right. Anyway, I know this is a very random train to go on. All right, let's get to the FUs of the week, because also since episode one we have always done the FUs of the week. Why do we do the FUs of the week on a video game show? Because sometimes we get angry, and this is our moment to let it all out of our system so that we don't rage on some noob on Xbox.
Because fuck you. That's why. My FU goes towards people who are so absolutely married to their, and I'm using a quotey here, faction, that they refuse to remotely give anybody of another ideology a chance. If you are going to be as head in the ground as you accuse your opponents of being, guess what? You're part of the problem. We need to stop dividing lines between people and actually have conversations and be grown-ups instead of being little children pointing fingers at each other. The end.
Well, I'm sorry, Jamie, but for the horde, and that's that.
And you're a stinky poopy head.
Well, I just got told. All right. Loki.
I guess this FU in my car needs a tune-up. Well, not even needs a tune-up. A valve adjustment that costs $500.
A valve adjustment sounds like something the guy made up. I'm sorry.
No, it's not actually. I've researched this in the past when I was having problems, and it's something that Honda Fits need after they get to about, you know, the mileage they have. And it's just the only. It wouldn't be that.
You're laughing, but it's true. They fucking do that shit where they just make up.
You're low on
the exam of valve adjustment.
You're low on blinker fluid. No, it's unfortunately, it's just because it takes. It's in the manifold, and they have to disassemble like part of the engine. It takes 3.5 hours to do that, so that it's all labor. Thank you, labor being so expensive.
All right, good help ain't cheap. All right, let's see. My FU of the week goes to a couple things. They both have to do with the show I was doing last night. So my character, I had to wear a lot of makeup for my character last night, and like most of it came off, but The freaking eyeliner will not come off, and it looks. I just look like an emo kid today.
You know,
like
if you had told me this, I would have brought my eye makeup remover.
I don't know. Believe me, I've scrubbed with like Cetaphil and all that stuff like over and over. Like this stuff will not come off.
Rob, admit it. You look fabulous.
I know, but I look like I'm like gonna go to a Fall Out Boy concert or something. I just don't. It's not. Sorry to all the fans out there, but I'm just like, this isn't really my look. I just look really tired. I don't know. Anyway. Let's go to our guest, JV Mon. You have some FUs of the week you want
to
get out?
FU to the landlord of the store I work at, because he's not renewing the lease because reasons. So as of February, I'll be out of a job.
Aww.
And this is the second time that this has happened to me. Last year, because I work for FYI, I don't care if you know. The store I worked at in Westchester last year, they closed down because the landlord's like, fuck you, we're not renewing your lease. You've been there 20 years, no one cares. So I got transferred back to a store in the Bronx, and now the landlord there is doing the exact same thing.
That's what FYE stands for, right? Fuck you, eh?
Pretty much.
I don't think FYE's from Canada, okay?
And fuck you to Alamo Car Rental, because when I went to get my car on Friday, I had to wait about 40 minutes to get registered, and then they made us wait outside because they had no cars. But they were still taking registrations for more cars. And it was kind of like, oh, a car just came back. Quick, get in and run. And it's just like, I haven't had coffee in like 5 hours and I'm crazy as hell.
And they don't have Dunkin' Donuts here, so I don't know what you're going to do.
Starbucks. They have Starbucks here.
That's though. True. They're everywhere. All right. Moving on. How about Piper? You got some FUs of the week you want to get out here? Something making you angsty?
Does it have to be personal? It can be like famous names.
It can do whatever you want it to be.
I've got three quick ones.
All right.
Fuck you, Lindsay Lohan. You know why.
You know what you did.
Fuck you, Phil Fish. I'm still mad, and Bodie Lee is, like, way better. I'm not even being professional now. Bodie Lee's cooler than you. And fuck you, whoever assembled my 3DS. I want it back, and I still hate you.
All right. You got to follow that, Princess Irene, last but not least.
Fuck you to my cat. Because he's a dick. He keeps knocking over my digital frame. And I just want to punch him in his little cat nose. Because he's a jerk. Yes, I am cruel to my cat. Oh, not really. And then an ambiguous, generic fuck you to school-related things.
All right.
And that's it.
Very ambiguous.
No one or thing in particular.
Right. There it is. Act Deft, by the way, who is our Mexican listener. One of our Mexican listeners. We have a couple.
Just the one.
But no, he's been here like every week for a very long time. So we kind of call him the one in Mexico. But Act Deft for FYE says, fuck you, SA. So there you go. Somewhere between fuck you, A and fuck you, SA is the
fuck you, SA.
Right, fuck you.
Two levels.
All right.
That's deep, man.
There it is.
At least it's not like fuck your eggs.
Alan Alchemy in chat says, OLR debuting the new Fall Out Boy single. Quote, if you think this podcast is long, you should see the reasons I'm breaking up with you. That totally sounds like a Fall Out Boy song.
Like a Taylor Swift song.
Or something. God, are they the ones that have that song? Like, there's a song on the radio right now, and I swear it sounds like Fall Out Boy. It's one of those bands. But that samples, like, Tom's Diner. Do you remember
that? I think it is,
Is that? Oh, my God. I got so angry when I heard that the first time, because, like, you know, I'm hearing it. Do, 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 do. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, it's Suzanne Vega. And then it's like, I'm so mad. And I'm like, what did they do to Tom's Diner?
At least you don't have to hear it about 50 times a day at work, because it's on our audio loop at work. So I hear it about 50 times a shift.
Oh, my God.
And every time I get fooled, because I'm like, yeah, Tom's Diner. Wait, no, I should know better by now.
Oh, my God. If I had to go through that, fuck yeah, euthanasia. I don't know. All right. Anyway, we just got a couple more stories for you guys, and then we're going to open up the phones for you to call. Yay. Tell us we're pretty. 1-877-GAME-OLR. Or maybe you have a question. You want to talk about something else in games.
You can look into our eyes longingly, except you can't because we don't have a cam.
1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. But first, two more stories here. Loki.
So, since I was so excited about Forza Horizon 2, I'm a little disappointed that for whatever reason, I guess it's because they really want you to buy an Xbox One, all the DLC that they're releasing for Forza Horizon 2 is only for the Xbox One. The Xbox 360 version, not even part of the Forza Rewards program thing that they have. They basically just said, hey, we're currently planning on to release DLC only for the Xbox One version of Forza Horizon 2. Also, Forza Rewards benefits are only available on the Xbox One version of Forza Horizon 2. This means that Xbox 360 players will not receive Forza Rewards credits or cars. And they said, progress in the 360 version of Forza Horizon 2 does not count towards your Forza Reward tier level score. Only progress in the Xbox One version of Forza Horizon 2 will count towards your overall Forza score and tier level and Forza rewards. Yeah. Fuck you guys. Thanks a lot, it is your own fucking console. It's a first party game and you're not even supporting that shit. You know how many people have an Xbox 360? It's like significantly more than have an Xbox One. You're not going to win people over this way.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get Forza Horizon 2, but you're right. All this stuff I'm hearing about how basically the 360 version is kind of gimped, I'm like, well, then I need to hold out until I have an Xbox One,
exactly. Whenever that may be.
Exactly. And what if they do, like, a Game of the Year edition later on, like they did with Forza Horizon 5? Uh-huh. Or Forza 5, not Horizon.
Or any.
Forza Motorsports 5.
Any big game.
Yeah. All right.
Well, some sad news for those of you guys that like your magazines. Like, I know Dark Soccer loves her print media, but unfortunately, another magazine going away, and it's the official Nintendo magazine in the UK. Will be shutting down on November 11th. This is announced by Future Publishing and Nintendo. The magazine staff, however, good news, they're going to be shifted to other positions within the company, so at least they're not using the, redundancy. It's the UK, so it's redundancies. From the website, quote, Nintendo will continue to speak directly to fans via Nintendo Direct, our social media and online channels, and public events. Internet, expos, right? Those are the four things they just said there. So there it is. The unofficial Nintendo UK magazine stopped publishing in 2012, the same year that Nintendo Power ceased operations. So that's unfortunate. The cool thing about this magazine, too, is I've seen some pictures. When you stack the magazines all side by side, like the first like 100 or so issues are the Nintendo logo, and these last few were like a Wii U. So they actually look kind of cool sitting on your shelf. So that, that sucks. That's a bummer. And, I don't know. Like, it's cool that you can get magazines on your iPad and all, but it's just not the same when sitting on the toilet. It's not the same at all because you're like, I have this expensive thing in here and I don't want to get water on it accidentally. All right. Anyway, there it is. Going away. Dark Soccer, surely you're having a sad about that. I mean,
I am.
I doubt you.
But I never actually read the UK magazine, so yeah. I'm slightly indifferent, but print media will always be awesome.
There you go.
You can never digitize the smell of ink.
All right. Well, we are going to go to the Skype line, 1-877-GAME-OLR, or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. Let's see if anybody would like to call. You can talk about anything we've talked about tonight, or maybe there's something else you want to bring up. I don't know. But the phones are open now, so let's get to it. While we wait for your calls, let me check with Loki and see if there's any last-minute stories. I'll bring up Twitter here.
Not yet? They're going to do a comic for Valiant Hearts.
Are they?
For the other iOS game. And I think that's coming out, was it, on PlayStation 4 and stuff. So they're doing...
Nice. That's right. Didn't the handheld Sony things do, like, comics? I remember the PSP did.
Well, yeah. And, this is kind of cool because this is one of the... I think this was using that UbiArt engine, so that looked pretty neat.
Nice. All right. Well, we do have some calls coming in, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How is everybody there?
It's a full house tonight. We're great. A little hot in here, but you know.
Hey, Ranma.
You're still a dick, JVmon.
Wait, why are you a dick? What'd you do?
For the Buff Boys comment.
Oh.
What else?
The private conversation on your Facebook that most of our listeners probably won't see. Sorry. What's up, Ranma? To what do we owe this phone call?
Well, before we get into that, Rob, I want you to know you've had too much candy. You're not allowed to have any more.
But candy's delicious. Why can't I have candy?
Especially since I brought some over.
Because
you know what? Fuck your rules. I'm eating candy right now. Fuck your rules. Fuck them.
Yeah, but that type of candy might get your ass beat, okay?
You're not the boss of me.
Oh, that's not my job.
All right. What else is on your mind, buddy?
I was listening earlier. You were talking about the whole thing about Comic-Con, so I figured let me chime in real quick and give you like the meat and potatoes of all of that.
Please.
See, I didn't go because I can't justify taking a day off of work just to stand 8 hours on a line in a comic book shop for a 3 or 4 day badge where by the time I get to the front, they're sold out. So that's my main reason for not going. But as you saw, a picture went viral that a friend of mine took about the weapons. Pretty much what was happening was you had a basic set of rules on the website, which did not reflect the rules on the mobile site. So pretty much staff was pretty much confiscating weapons left and right, and people got upset that they're confiscating weapons that people have been working on for days, weeks, hours, months, whatever, which I understand. But if the rules say that the weapons have to be made of cardboard or foam, and you go out and start making things out of different materials to kind of make it stand out, and they take it, you have no one except yourself but to blame. Now, they were actually throwing them out for a little bit. The right. Next day, on Friday, they more or less cleared it up, saying, well, if it looks too realistic, you're not going to be able to come into the Javits Center with it. We're going to take it, tag it, and you'll be able to pick it up later.
This sounds like a mess, though. I mean, doesn't that make you kind of question the organization of it, though? I mean, especially with these people standing in line for forever. Come on, that shit. Who has fun doing that? That pisses me off more than anything. I swear to God, if I go to BlizzCon and I have to stand in line all fucking day to get a badge, I'm going to be pissed right from the get go after all the money paid for it or whatever. Like nothing drives me crazier than that stuff. So why couldn't they figure out a way to do that online and what have you? And then it's really crappy that they had that miscommunication between online and what have you. So that I don't know, that's kind of frustrating too.
I know, and I've had a couple of staffers contact Comic-Con, and I posted the response emails on the web on my website so people can see what was going on. And it's pretty much like I said, if it looks like a weapon, it will be confiscated, done and done. But Rob, you're sitting here complaining about what's going on with Comic-Con, which I understand, but I don't know if you know this, but the people that run Comic-Con are the same people that run PAX, so you shouldn't be surprised.
Touché. Brad from Popculture says, be glad you weren't at previous Dragon Cons. The line there used to be horrible. Yeah, I've heard stories. Yeah, thank God they fixed that up. This year was great. I walked right in. Just took me 5 minutes. It was awesome.
Which is good. I mean, a lot of conventions do that, but I'll admit, when I went to Comic-Con last year for one day, I got there about 10 o'clock that morning. I was in about 15 minutes because they kind of spread it out with the checkpoints for you to tap your badge. And I guess yesterday, because it started raining pretty bad, everyone was kind of huddled up together. And I'm just like, ooh, good thing I'm not going.
Yeah, Bob Coffee in our chat says, be glad you weren't at Anime Expo this year, the line con of death. Yeah, I heard stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I kind of toyed with that. I made this meme called Line Con the Game. And it was like easy, normal, hard, God mode. And I think I put that for God mode Anime Expo.
Now, the question everybody wants to know is, for all the troubles of standing in line and having weapons confiscated, was there a ball pit to be given an hour in?
Actually, no. There was no ball pit this year.
What a failure of a con. All right. I'm kidding.
Trust me. Your sentiments is echoed across everybody. And you know how it is. I can't stand this. I'm not going. Months later, you going to Comic-Con? Hell yeah, I'm going.
Exactly right. Exactly. I'll be back. Heck yeah. All right. Rom, I'm going to let you go to see if we can get some more calls in, but thank you as always. An anime jam session Tuesday nights here at VOG.
Doing a complete roasting of Comic-Con, so bring some food, bring some steaks, bring some marshmallows. The flame is going to be mighty high.
And bring some Kahlua. Did you see those marshmallow shots with Kahlua in them?
No, I got something better.
What's that? Quickly.
Deep fried tequila shots.
No, I'm not a tequila person.
What?
I'm not a tequila person.
What is this? You know, it sounds amazing.
Deep fried tequila shots. Yeah. Well, you know they do deep fried Kool-Aid. Why not?
Why do I not have this in me right now?
Hey, take this. You take pound cake, and you cut it up into little blocks, you let the tequila soak in it, and then you deep fry it and add powdered sugar.
But
just like mom used to make.
When you cook it, wouldn't the alcohol boil? All right, forget it. Well,
no, because the pound cake soaks so much of it in, and when you deep fry it, it
got it. All right, this ain't a damn cooking show. We'll talk to you later.
That's because Logan didn't bring any bacon.
There might have been bacon on that burger. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't very good either.
All right. Rama, sad. Bye.
Bye.
All right. 1-877 Game OLR.
Well, see, that's the thing is I used to get was that they had those like special like triple, it was a third pound burgers or whatever, and then they converted them into their new quarter pounders. And the quarter pounder one, the difference was that they used red onions in it and stuff like that. But now in their science, now with white onions. So basically it's a fucking quarter pounder with bacon and they
charge
extra for it.
Well, at least it's not those freaking onions that were dehydrated and shit. That stuff was nasty.
The bacon was not good, though. It's just like it tasted really weird. And the white onions are not good either because they've been sitting there all day long.
Actually, true story. You know that's what makes potato salad go bad is not mayonnaise or the potatoes. It's the onions being set out in the sun. Be very careful if you eat raw onions that have been sitting out. Just saying.
Well, I will not, touch potato salad because of the mayonnaise word. And you all know how I feel about mayonnaise. Can't stand it.
It's amazing.
Mayonnaise.
Amazingly barf when I eat it.
And today's opposite day, so you mean it's great.
Now I hear there's a potato salad that's made with mustard. I'm okay with that.
No, wait. When I make potato salad, I actually will use mayonnaise and mustard in it because mustard will offset sweetness in some of the other ingredients, and it comes out very balanced and very nice. That's how we do it in the South. Just saying.
The way Rob feels about mayonnaise is the way I feel about mustard.
I
won't eat mustard on its own because I hate mustard.
See,
but
it does seem like people are in one camp or the other. Like, you don't have a lot of people that are both, except Jamie.
Mustard is an ingredient, not a condiment.
When I make potato salad, I make it with potato, bacon, butter, salt, and pepper, and I bake it. Oh, wait, that's a big potato. I don't like potato salad.
Yeah, Piper?
Not just say this isn't a cooking show.
I know, right? Well, nobody's calling.
We
nobody's
always
calling.
Talk
Orange
about food.
Video.
You can always talk about potatoes. Like, I don't care. You know.
Never mayonnaise.
Does food never come up on Multitap Podcast? Never, ever?
I don't know.
Microphones.
Microphones, don't forget.
I have to go back to the backlog. It's all on YouTube, but we have to have talked about food at some point.
I'll just have to listen to every episode and find out.
There's only, like, 9.
We talk about alcohol sometimes.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a food
group. That's a consumable.
What about the drunk cast coming up?
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a drunk cast coming up.
Ah, the days.
Ah, the days. The days. Try not to do what I did when you're running up the wall. No, you're lying
running
down.
Up the wall.
No. Yeah, I was lying down, kicking the wall, yelling, I'm in the Matrix, I'm in the Matrix. Keep in mind, this is an episode of OLR that happened. And I was so drunk. And then Jamie went and passed out in my bed.
I didn't pass out in your bed. I was laying there sobering. And then Loki brought me waffles and
Loki
felt better.
Loki cooked waffles during the show.
That's awesome.
Why? Why not?
And I was sober like 5 seconds after eating a waffle.
We also cooked super bacon.
Is it kind of like that one time, Rob, when you got drunk when we had a cast party for Rocky and you were laying on the ground leaving a voicemail for us and someone threw a condom on your chest and you didn't know for like 10 minutes that condom
that was
just sitting
I think that was an
there.
Understation Live voicemail.
Was this
the,
Rocky or Rocky Horror?
Rocky Horror.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember
Could you imagine
Rocky
shadow
show?
Casting Rocky?
Adrian, I love you.
Condom dude on my chest.
All right. Let's see. Go into some of the tweets that we have.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! It's ringing. The phone's ringing. Oh my god! Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Ekdef.
Hey, Ekdef. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. I want to make a follow up to Smash Brothers.
You want to make a what of Smash Brothers?
A follow up.
Oh, a follow up. Yeah, sure. What's how has Smash Brothers been treating you this week?
Well, it has been pretty good. Yesterday, I went to a convention, speaking of, and I entered a tournament with others playing a Smash Brothers on the 3DS, and I did pretty well, though here's my probably complaint about the game, and probably other people have said about it, but it's an issue, and it's the local multiplayer. it lags like really bad in some aspects, and it makes the game a little frustrating to play even.
I have heard this, that Smash multiplayer will get laggy, and I don't know if that's just because maybe the 3DS has an older communication technology in it, or especially at a convention, you probably have a lot of interference. You know, the radio signals or whatever the hell the 3DS is using to communicate, probably it's interfered with everybody's cell phone and, you know, credit card systems and the dealer's hall and all this other stuff. Like, it probably, convention's probably one of the worst possible places to play a multiplayer game like that, because, and I'm sure, especially in Smash, you have a lot of data being transferred back and forth real quick. You guys were just playing a match before the show, Irene, and you guys, was it working for you guys?
Luxuriously. It was seamless.
Right, but that's maybe because we didn't have a lot of interference here going on at the time.
It worked beautifully. There were just the two of us, though, so it wasn't a four-player match. You can do four-player, correct? And there's, you guys have a network in the studio, but there's not, I mean, there's not a whole lot going on, so it's...
Right.
So I'm assuming, it's going to be something like that, technology-based.
So that could be a difference, ACDEFT, but I mean, still, it still sucks. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to be like, oh, this could be the reality.
No, and even then, it wasn't, like, really that bad. It wasn't horrible, but we were playing in some matches, and suddenly it just lagged, like, out of nowhere. But yeah, it was probably that a lot of interference. A lot of people were playing. There were at least I think 30 people playing on the tournament. So
that's gonna be with that many 3DSs. That's a huge. That's got to be an issue right there. Like, surely there's some type of like limitation, but. Man, all that talk about conventions and playing the 3DS and all that, actually, it makes me miss the days of PictoChat. Like, I know that was an old-school DS thing, but remember penis chat at every convention you'd go to? Oh, my gosh. It's not really a thing anymore. I mean,
or standing in line at E3 and realizing you were PictoChatting your friend who was, like, two people behind you.
Exactly. And, like, you know, all these people you might see on the internet, you're PictoChatting with them, and it's like, hey, here's a penis I drew. Ha, ha, ha. So... Anyway, Explicit in chat agrees with that. 30 people is going to be an issue. Well, how was the con otherwise?
It was pretty good. It was fantastic. A lot of things happening, especially in the game in the gaming section. They had some people playing on PCs. There was a Just Dance tournament too. It was pretty good.
Did you get overall up there and shake your butt to some Just Dance songs?
I didn't get to play. I was kind of busy with the Smash tournament and other things, and I sadly couldn't get in.
Wait,
so, yeah.
did they have board games?
Oh yeah, a lot of them too.
Okay, did they have
there
Jenga?
Was a section even for card games and board games too. So yeah, it was a pretty good con.
But did
a lot of things to do, but sadly I couldn't do that much.
But did they have Jenga?
Rob, get fuck over Jenga.
No, I will never get the fuck. Okay, did they have Don't Break the Ice?
Okay, that one's legitimate. That's all legitimate. That's
legitimate. Anyway,
hey, remember, we had Don't Break the Jenga.
Yeah, Don't Break the Jenga. Explicit One said, what con was this?
Oh, it's Shinigami Fest. It's in Mexicali, Mexico. So yeah, if you live near in Southern California area, you may visited next year, but yeah, for everyone else, probably it's gonna be far.
Might be a little bit far. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ACDEFT, thanks so much for the call. Glad to hear you had a good time at the con. You know, 3DS communication troubles, outstanding.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, anytime. Bye bye.
Bye.
1-877-GAME-OLR or username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. We can maybe squeeze in one more call, although we are running a little bit over. So I do want to try to wrap up with some of these tweets here. So if you want to get in quick. We have some tweets here. We have Alex P. Carson tweeted us saying, tuned in to OLR after a year-long hiatus. Well, welcome back. Man. Welcome back. Where the hell have you been? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Things change. People got other stuff to do and what have you. I mean, you know, Princess Irene hasn't been here for like 2 years.
But seriously, don't leave again.
Yeah, I will find you. I'm just kidding. All right. Let's see. Satura tweeted us saying, and I always mispronounce your name, and I'm so sorry, but tweeted us a story that says, Sony working diligently, in quotes, on The Last Guardian. Great news. maybe that's what they're going to fucking get people to pay $90 to go see for 2 days in Vegas.
It's a hoax again, dude. They've been talking about this for a decade and change.
Yeah,
hey,
but
I'm working diligently on The Last Guardian as well.
You know what? Finally, Duke Nukem Forever happened. Final Fantasy 15 might actually happen. Do you know, somebody put it in perspective, Final Fantasy 13 Versus, what it was originally called, right, was announced before the iPhone.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
How many systems? Was it just 2 systems ago?
No, it was supposed to be when 13 came out. 13 was early in the life of the PlayStation 3. For a Final Fantasy game, Final Fantasy 13 came out really early in the console's life.
I thought they had pushed it because it was originally supposed to be a different one that they had made several in between that. So it was originally supposed to be back a couple
of years. I think you're thinking of Agato, which was supposed to be the PSP one.
Agato became Zero.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one that changed.
But didn't they originally develop 13 for the PS2 and then switched it to the PS3?
They might have.
That's what I remember reading. It's like, because it took a while for 13 to come out, but that's because they had to switch it from being PS2 to PS3.
Could be. That actually would make a lot of sense. But then you look at Final Fantasy XII, which came out so late in the life. But
so underrated.
It's so underrated, and I really hope that's in line to get the HD treatment at some point. So one game I didn't talk about during my gaming week because I didn't get to play a lot of it, but since no other calls are coming in, I'm going to shut down the Skype line. I'll quickly talk about this. Final Fantasy XIII came out on Steam this week, right? So I did download that and check it out a little bit. Oh, my God. I needed – get this. The game is 56 gigs because it has the full English and Japanese audio, which I don't think the PlayStation 3 release had both. But because I downloaded it early, it had to decrypt on my computer. I had to free up 100 gigabytes on my hard drive to install this stupid game.
That's ridiculous.
And then – no, what's ridiculous is that you can either play in full screen mode, which has the wrong aspect ratio for my monitor, so it's all squished. Or you can play in one resolution window, and you can't resize the window.
35 gigs of that is devoted to Zaz's hair.
But seriously, get the fuck out of here with that lazy fucking port.
They already have a hack to change the resolution.
So somebody else did Square's job for them, essentially. That is bullshit. Come on.
It runs at a higher resolution, but here's the thing, though. It looks like shit because all the cutscenes are still at 720. And on top of that, the LOD textures and stuff are very low res. So it looks like shit when you up-res it.
You know what, though? But I will say this. In that window, which wasn't the same size as my monitor, but in the window, the game did look really fucking good. Like, because it runs very smoothly on the PC and so forth. I will give it that. It looked really fucking good, but I was really driven bonkers that I couldn't, just make that fill my screen. Like, how fucking hard
still,
is that?
Though, I'm surprised. I mean, I forget. Was that 3 or 4 discs? I guess it was 4 discs, so.
It was 4 discs.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know, but that would still be only like 45 gigs.
I've been trying to decide whether or not I actually want to get it. I mean, my computer would probably run it really well, but at the same time...
Why couldn't they have the Japanese audio?
Take the grain of salt, what I just gave
it's
you.
It's like free DLC or something.
Wait for a Steam sale.
Is Vanille really fucking annoying still?
I think Vanille is underrated because a lot of people base their judgment off Final Fantasy 13 off the first 10 hours, which I understand. I mean, that's a long investment in the game.
Let me rephrase my
question. But these characters get better towards the end.
Is her voice acting still really fucking annoying?
Yes, of course.
Well, I just plan on playing it in Japanese anyway.
Well, yeah, play it in Japanese and it'll be less annoying.
Maybe. I don't know. Her Japanese voice actor is kind of annoying too.
Hope might be okay.
Just to kind of cap on it, I think they did this for Dark Souls. Was it Dark Souls 2 or Dark Souls 1 where it was had some kind of bullshit resolution thing and some fan made a patch. It was like 128 kilobyte patch that made the whole game better. So this happens.
Let's see. Alan Alchemy is jumping in saying, Final Fantasy 13 for PC has a nasty bug where you get stutters and pauses if you don't have a USB controller plugged in. Wow, that's crazy. If I put a USB controller in, to be fair, you should be using one, but come the fuck on and that fixed it. So I'm sorry, this port has some serious problems, and I think for me to buy another Square port in the future, I need them to come out and say what they're going to do better next time. I'm not buying any more of their Steam ports blind. That was a stupid decision on my part.
I will be perfectly honest, though. I have no problem with fan-made mods because, hello, I play Mass Effect.
Yeah, I know. And I don't get me wrong. I totally embrace the modding community, and that's awesome. But when they're having to do the job that the porters should have done, kind of have a problem with that. So, anyway, not to end on a negative note, but... Oops. All right. Anyway, no, we have positive note because we had some great guests on the show tonight. So I want to make sure quickly. Any other last minute stories? Anything? No. All right. Then we'll close up shop here. I want to thank once again Bodhi from Lunar Ray Games for coming on the show tonight. Fantastic interview. Best of luck with the game. Really appreciate it. And thank all of you here in studio as well. I'm going to go around and get some final thoughts from you guys. JVmon, do you have a final thought before you head back over to New York City? In a week, I guess, but still.
I'm finally going to start playing Final Fantasy 14 again.
Good call. It's a fun
Join
game.
Our server.
Yeah.
I did.
Play with us.
Oh, okay. Play with us.
Rob just needs to add me.
Okay, well.
And I kind of miss playing Dance Central Spotlight, even though I hate the whole piecemeal garbageness.
I heard a lot of the dances are just kind of lifted from the older games. Is that true?
Some of the moves are just like ripped straight from Dance Central 3, but it's still pretty and fun, even though the first song they force you to play is the Will.i.am and Justin Bieber song.
That's so fucked up.
So even right there, I was like, and I almost want to never play this again.
Are you going to get the Fantasia game, though? Because really curious to know how
That's out in 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, that's really soon. So by time next
year. So I can't touch out, a game like, that
Bayonetta
includes Bieber.
Is coming out, too.
Yeah, it's like, that's true.
Bayonetta, Fantasia.
Exciting time in gaming. I know.
My wallet's weeping silently in my pants.
any final thought for us tonight?
No.
All right. Well, have a good rest of your trip here in Northern
Thank
California.
You.
And come back. We'll see you in a year.
Maybe sooner.
Oh, okay. Maybe. All right. I like that attitude. All right. Piper, my new friend from the Multitap Podcast. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me. This was fun. I was looking forward to
it. Did you have fun? Good.
I did.
It's important. Best of luck with your show. Jamie, stop distracting.
It was one of my mods.
Oh, okay. best of luck with the show and all that fun stuff.
Thank you. Even if nobody listens, we'll keep doing it because it's too fun.
That is the important thing. You know what? And for so long, OLR, because like the first episode had 12 listeners. And the second episode had like 9. So, you know what?
I feel like the saddest human ever. Like if all the rest of the crew quits, I'll probably just be talking. Just like, hey, thanks for coming back again.
If you don't love doing it, then stop doing it. And that's why there's so many people, like especially when the podcasting, like and all these, you know, corporate people were like, we got to do a podcast because that's where the money's at. And you heard all these people so didn't want to be there. I'm just like, get out of the pool. Right. You're ruining it. But like, if you're having fun doing it, then keep creating. It's, you know, even if you're in an echo chamber, it can be a lot of fun.
And listeners or not, if anybody ends up listening from this show, come December, we're doing the Mean Girls Jingle Jam. It's happening.
Yes.
You have my attention.
We have 2 listeners for December.
There you go. There, see, you just got more listeners right there. It is lovely to see you again, Princess Irene. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I was very happy to be here tonight.
Yeah,
it was great.
So we'll come back. Try not to wait 2 years before coming back. Okay.
No promises.
Remind us again how to listen to Multitap Podcast.
With your ears, stupid. So you can go to ffop.net. Yeah, which is Fistful of Potions. Or fistfulofpotions.com.
Or I'm surprised with you, Irene, and I can say this because I've known you a very long time. I'm surprised it's not Fistful of Poo.
I didn't come up with this. It would be Fistful of Poo if I made it up. Come on now.
With a big monkey as the logo.
Exactly. Pixel Shits, the podcast. That's going to be our offshoot podcast. Yeah.
Multitap into Google. It's like, as 2 words, it's like the first thing that shows up.
Oh, wow.
Sweet. So, yes, you can Google it as well, and you can find us on Twitter at Multitap Podcast. And I don't know why we have 2 website URLs, but who gives a shit?
Just
ease of use, I guess. Yeah, we're on the Facebooks.
On the Facebooks,
yeah.
The Twitters. Do you have an Elo yet? Yeah, no, everybody forgot about Elo. Like, Elo just came and went, didn't it?
Elo went goodbye.
LOL. All right.
Oh, that was dumb. All right,
final thought for us this night.
Poop.
I wish they all could be.
I didn't ask, Piper, I didn't ask you properly your final thought. Do you have a final thought for our listeners tonight?
I wish they all could be California girls.
All right. My final thought tonight, as always, I say support indie podcasting. And if you didn't like this show, then at least check out another show. Support the hardworking indie broadcasters out there. And, you know, one thing I've kind of said this week is that, you know, if you really want to fight the corruption that you see out there in these big name websites and you want to fight that type of, you know, corruption you see out there, I think one of the best things you can do is create And if you want to go out there and create a podcast, know that we support you 100%. And, you know, support your fellow indie broadcasters. Just make sure you create to support and not create to destroy. Because if you create to shade other people and stuff, then you know what? Go sit on attack. Just, like, just don't even bother.
And don't poop on other podcasts.
Exactly. It's not classy. Be a classy broadcaster. Yes, Piper.
I had a thought to tack onto that. I used to, damn it, I'm good.
All right.
I listened or watched, I guess, a lot of Kevin Smith, and I still do, and he was really inspiring with that, so that's a good message where he says, I think people would ask him for support. They'd say, what should I do to, you know, make this story or make this movie, or would you help it? And his advice was just fucking do it, man.
That's right.
So it's just, you know.
Just fucking do it.
Just fucking do it, man.
All right. And my proper final thought that I don't give you every week is I might kidnap that box of yummy chocolate. What is that you brought?
I brought it
it's
to leave
so
here.
Good.
Chocolate baton.
It was chocolate like baton. $2 so at good. Trader Joe's.
Thank you, Trader Joe's. Thank you, base Trader Joe's.
No, thank you, me, because I paid my $2
That's
for it.
That's true. All right. Do you want a dollar or something?
Get my no, right. you could. I brought them for you to have.
Yay, gifts.
We can't keep food at my house because we're moving.
All right. Well, my gift to you is your final thought next, Star Sakura.
I want to already be moved. I'm tired of the waiting for the date.
Moving sucks already and you haven't packed a box.
No, we've already started packing, actually. Okay. We got rid of a lot of DVDs, including some of our box sets like TNG and Futurama and The Simpsons and my entire run of Stargate SG-1. But however, we're now $150 richer because of everything. And I actually gave the good DVDs to friends first. Because I'd rather just say, hey, I gave you this. Let me borrow it.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Next up is the books, then the vault. Not looking forward to it. But we're going to a better place.
I know.
Are
That'll
you
be fun.
Dying?
No.
We're going to a
She's
better place.
She's not going to hell
now.
Like you.
Yes, I'm dying. My hair in 2 weeks. Actually, I'm going fire red with purple tips.
Nice.
Because I can do that now.
You're gonna
where
look
I
like
work.
An anime character when you come back.
I had already. How long did I have fuchsia hair?
I know.
And Smurf blue that did not look good. But I found white hairs because I'm old, and so I said that when I get a lot more of them, I'm actually gonna bleach my hair out and dye it blue so I can be a crazy blue haired old lady.
All right, we'll all be waiting. All right, last but not least, Loki, your final thought.
Watching the kid this week, and so hopefully I get some more. Programming in during his naps.
Just do it. Remember that was the advice earlier.
Just fucking do it.
All right. Have a great week off, everybody. Remember, we're going to be off next week. And if you guys happen to be in Vegas, come say hi. I'll be at FanFest. I'll either be on the show floor or I'll be at the bar.
You
so
know what will be sad?
What?
No Tiara.
I know she's not in Vegas now.
Nope.
Yeah. I don't know if I know anybody still in Vegas. Everybody I knew that was there, I think, moved. But
I have friends now through Tiara, but I won't be there until you can't meet any of those awesome people.
All right, well, then fine, I won't. So I will. We'll see you guys all again in 2 weeks with an all-new Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you then. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.